I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Tonight, a special show for everyone, and I'll tell you, I have sat on the show for a couple of days. Why? Because I wanted to make sure that everything would fall into place. I didn't want to just like bring this out of out of the darkness and say, "There you go, here it is." Whatever. You know, there's a lot of thought that goes into this, and not only that, but you know, a lot of remarkable things were being said past couple of days from Bill Clinton and others. Noah, of course, the mutant, the movie, all of these things coming together, and all of it dealing with visitors, all of it dealing with aliens, all of it dealing with extraterrestrials. Noah, of course, talking about the Nephilim and the ancient watchers, the ancient visitors. And in the Sumerian, there were also the Anunnaki that we hear about, and that the Anunnaki lived on a planet called Nibiru, and that Zechariah Sitchin and several others have talked about this planet that it allegedly exists called Planet X. Now, there's Planet X, the Sitchin version, and there's Planet X, the hypothetical version. And there's also Planet X, the science version, meaning that there are plenty of planets that are out to be discovered, and many of them are various Planet X's to be talked about. The full-on Nibiru Planet X is anyone's guess when it's going to return. Many people are watching it saying it's returning now. But, you know, using some logic, we have to understand that if it is returning now, then we should be seeing it with the naked eye. Many people say they have. I've received a lot of pictures of people that people have sent me. You see these strange things in the sky. I just want to let you know, though, that a lot of people are going to be seeing some interesting things around the moon in the next couple days. And one of which is going to be Mars is going to look exceptionally big by the moon. So it's going to look like a huge fiery red ball. It'll be in the it's going to be in the sky above the moon. So if you have a clear sky, which we don't hear tonight, but if you're in an area with a clear sky, you're going to be seeing a huge fireball near the moon. And you may think that it's something frightening. Maybe people will say it's a UFO. In reality, it'll be Mars. And then as the week progresses, we're going to be heading into the time where we're going to be seeing the blood moons, and that'll be happening during the time of Passover. So, and a lot of people say that that's an apocalyptic moon. These red moons are going to be apocalyptic. We may be seeing some things going down, many things that are fulfillment of prophecy. The vigilant sky watchers that have been telling us that Planet X is coming may not have to say anything anymore. They may not have to tell us anymore because, they don't have to say it's coming because a lot of people are saying it's already here. Critics can no longer say that it's some conspiracy fantasy. While various military groups and specialists have been searching for this missing commercial jetliner in the South Pacific, those searching for Planet X received some hope in an announcement that there may be a reason to reconsider the notion that the planet is out there. NASA and other scientists have not gone on the record as saying that the planet is the fabled Nibiru, but a dwarf planet has been discovered lurking out in space orbiting the sun in a distant, largely unexplored region known as the inner Oort cloud. Now, the important thing to note is that the orbit of this newfound planet or object, it's known as 2012 VP113, and some of its neighbors are consistent with the existence of Planet X. That's what's interesting about it is that, you know, Nibiru, the whole legend myth of Nibiru, all of this seems to be fulfilled a lot. But they're saying, no, let's not jump to conclusions here. It's not Nibiru. They want to make sure that they're not declaring that what they have found is Nibiru. What they're telling you is that this planet is a planet that has been found in the Oort cloud, 2012 VP113. And since it's not far from the sun, yet it's so distant, perhaps it cannot be detected by current instruments or beyond. It is now quite interesting that some scientists are saying that this may be Planet X. But once again, I have to tell you that NASA will not go on the record and say, hey, this is the winged planet. They won't go on the record and say this is Nibiru. They won't go on the record and say this is the ancient Sumerian planet, the flying planet, or the planet of destruction. It's not the doom planet, or it's not the planet of terror. And of course, they're not going to say that it's a planet of terror. If they said it was a planet of terror, people would panic, because Planet X, when it comes near Planet Earth, It's supposed to wreak all kinds of cataclysm, all kinds of problems for us all if Planet X gets anywhere near us and if its orbit gets anywhere close to us. Now, this announcement is quite interesting because I'm having a bit of deja vu here. Okay, and I'll tell you why. Back in 1983, there was an announcement about another possible Planet X discovery that was timed directly with the announcement by a president that an alien threat would unite us if it was discovered that a planet in space was found that had intelligent life living on it. As far back as 1983, we were warned that something was coming at us, that there were a few amateur astronomers that were writing in magazines like Fate that a planet had been detected near the sun. However, the majority of scientists and astronomers were saying that, well, this rogue planet coming at us is from the constellation Orion. So there was confusion going out there. Well, here's the thing, is that going back, you can dig and you can find articles. And there was one that was posted on December 31st, 1983. It said something, the headline was, "Possibly as large as Jupiter, mystery heavenly body discovered." Now, this is from the Washington Post. It says, "A heavenly body, possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter, and possibly so close to Earth that it would be a part of this solar system, has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite. So mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, or a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy so young that it is still in the process of forming its first stars, or galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. The truth is stranger than fiction, as the report was not on the internet and was actually reported in hard copy to let the world know that someday we would be seeing this planet or the arrival of this huge celestial body very soon. The planet was called Planet X." The most fascinating explanation of this mystery body, which is so cold it casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 trillion miles. This was back in 1983. Now, while that may seem like a great distance in Earthbound terms, it's a stone's throw away in cosmological terms, so close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet at the time, Pluto, which, of course, now has been, you know, neglected and thrown away. So no one has spoke of this since, this proto-planet or this proto-star, this dwarf. But, of course, there have been a lot of people that have speculated that Planet X, or the idea of Planet X returning, has been spoken of in ancient Sumerian texts, that the Sumerian gods will return, that these Sumerian gods, the Anunnaki, are going to return, and that they are pretty much aliens as well, or they're gods, or they were going to consider them gods. And so there's always been this vigil by people waiting for Planet X to arrive. And many people have been told that Planet X is nonsense, that it's all a cover, that it's all conspiracy theory nonsense. Well, this gives new hope for people who believe the Planet X is out there, because there are a number of people. Well, actually, there was an article that was, well, in a science journal, and of course, the Daily Grail was reporting that astronomers have now discovered a dwarf planet orbiting our sun. The planet is called 2012 VP113, and it has this elliptical orbit that brings it to within 80 AU. And what that is it's an AU is the unit of distance from the sun to the Earth. So it's 80 AU. So perihelion, the closest point orbit to the sun, some three times the distance from sun to Neptune. While it gets as far as 450 AU away from the other end of its orbit, we may be seeing that this object is doing a very large elliptical orbit in the Oort cloud. And for those of you that are Planet X followers, you know that you have heard that this planet was supposed to come from that area. And now they're saying it's there. Or, I guess, theoretically it's there. I'm still trying to figure out if they're just saying that or if it's something they have detected. But I don't know if they've detected it. In the meantime, hope for Planet X believers. Planet X is there tonight on Ground Zero. A remarkable report is now being issued stating that they have found something that has all the characteristics of Planet X, 2012 VP113. And when I'm talking Planet X, I'm just going to loosely call it Planet X because I don't know if it's Nibiru In fact, I think that the science is going to great pains to say it's not Nibiru, but they're saying that we see a planet, Planet X, in this area, and it has all the characteristics of this new dwarf planet orbiting our sun. I talked about the elliptical orbits. I talked about its AU distance from sun to Earth, that it's been found in the Oort cloud. The object, however, they're saying is not unique. Astronomers have previously discovered another similar dwarf planet named Sedna. And I thought that was the planet they were talking about, but no, there is, they're calling it the double Sedna or the mirror Sedna. And they're wondering, Scott Shepard, Chad Trujillo are the discoverers. They hint that there may be a multitude of dwarf planets orbiting the sun in the Oort cloud. So there may be a mirror solar system that is just on the other side of the Oort cloud that we need to discover. And this could even open up new ideas about extraterrestrials and whether or not extraterrestrials are out there somewhere. So I'm seeing an intriguing coincidence that's happening right now. And that is, you're looking at planets that are out, like Sedna, for example, and then 2012 VP-113, which are near both their perihelions. They're very similar. So what does this lead us to? Well, we can speculate that if these planets exist, then other unknown massive bodies may be orbiting our sun well beyond our current sensing abilities. And so Planet X is more of a viable option right now. It's a remarkable option. So here's a coincidence I want to share with you. Last night I discussed Bill Clinton's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, where he basically said that he wouldn't be surprised if aliens were to make themselves known soon. Well, we were demonstrating that he echoed the words of Ronald Reagan, saying that our differences on the planet would disappear if we found out there was an alien threat similar to what we saw in the movie Independence Day. Well, back in 1983, when it was first released to the mainstream that Planet X could be a reality out there near Orion, Ronald Reagan was in the White House, and he received a remarkable inspiration one year later, and that is Reagan held a movie premiere of E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And the Reagans invited Spielberg there. There were about 35 people invited to this special screening of the White House. Included on the list were distinguished guests of the Supreme Court like Sandra Day O'Connor. The event started with a reception in the Blue Room, where the Reagans met with the invited guests. Now, from there, a group moved from the Red Room where the presidential party had dinner. At about 8:22 p.m. in the White House Theater, the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial began. The movie was one that moved the Reagans very much. Nancy Reagan was crying towards the end. And then Spielberg recalled, and this is what he says, quote, "The president looked like a 10-year-old kid in this film. He was just really excited. Following the screening, the president leaned over, clapping Spielberg on the shoulder, and quietly commented, 'You know, there aren't six people in this room who know how true this really is.'" Unfortunately, the sudden press of people approaching Spielberg and the president prevented Spielberg from commenting or pursuing any more of this comment, or at least exploring this comment. Reagan sent a thank you note to Spielberg, congratulating him on a great film. And of course, later we heard Reagan's famous alien threat speech to the United Nations, where he said, "Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world." So the question is, did Reagan know of these discoveries or of these theories of the hypothetical planets that are called Planet X? And when these hypothetical planets are discovered or otherwise revealed, does this inspire people to start speaking and thinking again of aliens or the Sumerian gods or all of the legends that surround these types of discoveries? Because isn't it interesting that we hear that 2012 VP-113 has been discovered, that they are calling it, with lack of a better description, Planet X, that we have a man who used to be in the White House, Bill Clinton, on a talk show saying, "If aliens were to land, I would have told the people, or I would tell the truth about aliens. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't show up." And he gives the whole full-on, you know, speech, the whole full-on paraphrase speech that Reagan gave, that he believed that our differences would vanish if we were facing an alien threat, or at least the knowledge of aliens out there. So the question is, do you believe? I mean, and I'll tell you this, there are a lot of scientists out there, too, that are trying to debunk this again. And I don't know why they're so uncomfortable with it, but they are. They're trying to debunk it. 2012 VP-113 discovered in the Oort cloud all of the characteristics of Planet X. So the question I have to you is, if you have listened to Planet X shows before and you've discredited them, does this change your mind at all? If you've been a believer, does this increase your belief? And there are many people out there that said they've seen or they've at least watched videos of people who've shot what appear to be something near the sun. And I want to know if any of you have experienced that. So tonight I want to discuss Planet X. I want to know if the discovery of 2012 VP-113 has increased your belief in Planet X, or do you still want to wait and see what comes of it, whether or not they'll just debunk it fully again. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. The terror planet, Planet X. Nibiru? I don't know. We'll find out coming up on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
There's a huge, hidden, heavenly body right here in our solar system. Evidence is mounting that either a brown dwarf star or a gas giant planet is lurking at the outermost reaches of our solar system, far beyond the planet Pluto. According to the British newspaper, The Independent, the object is four times the size of Jupiter.
In the Pentagon, in the, you know, the military circles that are in the know about the cover-up here, they kind of, in whisper tones, talk about the return of the Sumerian gods. And they're talking about the what we would call aliens or fallen angels returning into the Middle East, into old Sumer area.
But the weirdest part of all was what the late Abigail Gluck whispered.
Like I'll say, a crazy mummified corpse whispering Nibiru is creepy times 10.
It gets creepier. I Googled it and found a lot, namely this. Nibiru is a planet listed in the writings of Zachariah Sitchin, particularly his book, The Twelfth Planet. According to Sitchin's interpretation of Babylonian religious texts, a giant planet called Nibiru passes by Earth every 3,600 years and allows its sentient inhabitants to interact with humanity. These beings, which Sitchin identified with the Anunnaki of Sumerian myth, would become humanity's first gods. My favorite internet encyclopedia says there's supposed to be a collision. The Nibiru collision is a disastrous encounter between the Earth and a large planetary object. Believers in this doomsday event usually refer to this object as Planet X or Nibiru.
Doomsday event?
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Planet X! Nibiru! Has it been found in the Oort cloud? Is it heading our way? Well, science won't say that it's heading our way, and they won't say it's Nibiru, but they do say that there's a planet there. And they're saying that maybe the hopes for Planet X are rekindled. The discussion, reborn, Planet X. For the longest time, Zachariah Sitchin, he had the, monopoly on the story. Many people have commented about Planet X. Many people have said that they're awaiting Planet X. The Planet X is the second coming, actually. They're saying that if Planet X comes our way, it will be a signal to the second coming of Jesus, saying something that Revelation 8 says, that there will be this huge mountain in the sky that will come forward, whether it be the city of heaven or it will be Planet X, Nibiru, the Sumerian planet that is known as the planet of doom. What I find interesting, though, is that we discussed Bill Clinton's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, saying that if aliens were to arrive, he wouldn't be surprised. And what's interesting is the last time this was done, where, a planet where they said, well, maybe we found Planet X, another president had made comments about this. And the same president, Ronald Reagan, held a meeting at the White House, a special showing of E.T., the extraterrestrial. And he actually said at the gathering that only a few people in this room know that this is all the truth. And what's interesting is that Spielberg himself confirmed it in an interview. Here's that interview.
It was an amazing evening, and he just stood up and he looked around the room almost like he was doing a head count, And he said, I want to thank you for bringing E.T. to the White House. We really enjoyed your movie. And then he looked around the room and he said, and there are a number of people in this room who know that everything on that screen is absolutely true. And he said it without smiling. But he said that. And everybody laughed, by the way. The whole room laughed because he presented it like a joke, but he wasn't smiling as he said it.
Yeah, he was very serious. I'm sure that he felt that with all that he was hearing, that maybe we were on the verge of some sort of alien encounter, or as he put it, an alien threat. Now, with the announcement about 2012 VP-113, there seems to be a rebirth of sorts into the Planet X discussion. I want to be the first, hopefully the first, to kind of bring this up again from a new perspective, because I'm sure there are going to be many more coincidences that will be accompanying this announcement with regard to Planet X. One thing that I wanted to point out, that last February, after hearing about the failed attempts at tracking the potentially extinction-level meteor in Russia, while at the same time tracking an asteroid coming within 17,000 miles of Earth, I was reminded of what most Planet X investigators had told me about the entire affair that we were discussing some 14 years ago. And I was discussing a number of things. I said, well, give me some, you know, scenarios that would indicate that Planet X is here, or that Planet X will be seen or discovered. And a lot of people who have been authorities on Planet X have always stated that one of the chief indicators that something was coming at us, whether it be Planet X or something else from the Oort cloud, would be this precursory event that would be fireballs falling out of the sky and comets that would appear so frightfully close to the Earth, or and some of them slamming into the Earth, or maybe even slamming into planets like Mars. And this is going to happen, by the way, in October. There's a comet that may slam into Mars in October. It could be a close call, of course, but, you know, it all depends on the math and the numbers and how they crunch the numbers. But the researchers of Planet X have theorized that if something huge was heading our way, the sun would most certainly become responsive, and there would be huge CMEs that would be firing from the sun. And it would be an unexplained event because the sun would look like it's relatively dead or tired or sleeping, you know, not much activity. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we're seeing these CMEs coming at us. Now, when the Mayan calendar was being deciphered prior to 2012, there was a passage that stated that during the times of the end, or during the times when we see collapse in the solar system, because that's all 2012 was a collapse of the solar system and a regeneration of time, there would be heavenly bodies in the sky and something called serpent ropes coming down from the sun. Now, you can only determine that serpent ropes are fiery ropes or fiery storms, namely the CMEs, or the coronal mass ejections coming from the sun, and that they would definitely cause trouble upon the planet. You know, there would be earthquakes, there would be tidal waves, there would be tsunamis, there would be, power. Now, with what we have with the grid, there'd be power outages, there'd be all sorts of things happening to the planet if we were to see these very harsh CMEs. Well, it's kind of coincidental in a fearful sort of way that we're hearing about a lot of CMEs. It's coincidental in a fearful sort of way that we've been hearing about all these tidal waves and volcanic activity and earthquakes that allegedly were supposed to increase in number and intensity if Planet X were to come or move closer to the Earth. Now, of course, this is all coincidental, I think. I mean, I'm not too sure. I mean, the news lately seems to be raising the possibility that something seems to be triggering some remarkable seismic activities. And I've always banked on the idea that those things that pass above us cause a lot of electromagnetic surges and waves on this planet. And while it can be denied by a lot of scientists, and I sound like a total fool, I planned my shows that we were doing about these near-Earth objects, and then we did the earthquake program, and then that weekend after we did the earthquake, we did it on a Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we had all these earthquakes in Los Angeles and Yellowstone, and then when Jim Berkland was on the program, the big one, we had a big one in Chile, at least two big ones in Chile. And that was all based on my idea that with all these heavenly bodies passing overhead, with all of these sun storms that were happening, that we would have some major, major earthquakes. And then I see this story about 2012 VP-113 and about how they've discovered this new planet in the Oort cloud, possibly a dual planet or dual system on the other side of the sun. I started thinking Planet X. And so I did some research and found that, yes, they 2012 VP-113 is kind of receiving the nickname or the pet name Planet X. And so I don't know if it's Nibiru, and I'm not indicating that a possible Planet X is doing this. It's just that there are a lot of things to think about right now. There are a lot of things happening in the world that have no explanation, and people say, well, it's all normal. But, you know, I don't feel it is. I mean, I have to ask you, do you think this is all normal? The increase of the earthquakes, the intensity of the earthquakes, the volcanoes all erupting simultaneously with one another, the CMEs, the space rocks, the large space rocks that pass overhead. What happened at Chelyabinsk last year, the exploding fireball that caused all the damage, and the fact that some 14 years ago, a lot of people were saying Planet X is coming, and you'll know that it's close when you start hearing about all of these strange activities happening in the world. And now they've announced that there is a planet out in the Oort cloud that they've discovered, 2012 VP-113, that they are calling Planet X, for lack of a better term. In fact, if you go over to the Planetary Society blog, there's a woman named Emily Lakdawala who has actually done a detailed breakdown of the discovery. She's talked about many of the coincidences and what might mean for the whole Planet X theory. She notes that for an object of that size to form, it needs to be in a circular orbit. So the elliptical orbit of these two dwarf planets, and she's referring to Sedna as well, suggests that they were scattered by something at some point after they formed. But the Planet X theory isn't the only possible explanation. The planets may have been thrown into their current orbits by a star that passed within several hundred AU of the sun and disturbed orbits of objects it passed nearby. Or it may be due to the fact that the Earth was born in a star cluster. Now, I must point out, however, that Emily does have a bias that she fully admits to having, and that there are other colleagues that are not so keen on the idea of calling it Planet X. She says this, quote, "I have to confess to my bias here. I really wanted this coincidence in argument of perihelion to be strong evidence of Planet X. I would love for there to be a Planet X. So would Trujillo and Shepard, evidently because they spent quite a bit of space showing it could work, and so would nature, because then the first clear indication of a Planet X would be in an article published in their journal. But Hal Levison, who's a planetary scientist, dashed my hopes, or at least my certainty. He has said that 2012 VP-113 is a very weak argument for Planet X. And indeed, his paper spends more column inches on 2012 VP-13 telling us about the inner Oort cloud as a population than it does about this potential, what she calls, a perturber. Meaning a planet that is going to perturb a lot of other situations in the solar system. There may be other explanations for this, she says, rather than extreme position of, oh my gosh, it's Planet X. But she says, I can believe there's something remarkable going on. Something, as she calls it, is what threw these planets into their orbits in the first place, and could it be that we are still looking beyond the sun for concrete and definite proof that there is most definitely a Planet X. You see, the debate continues, and many scientists want to see the discussion go away, and they've gone to great lengths to debunk even the latest findings of this elusive Planet X. In fact, I was on a website today called phys.org. Planet X Myth Debunked was released almost simultaneously with the findings of the other guys. Now it's a case of who you want to believe. Do you believe the scientists that say that Planet X is nonsense? Or with all of the things that we've been told for the last 14, 15 years about earthquakes, volcanoes, sunstorms, problems with the planet, severe weather, that this is an indication that Planet X is coming, or that it's getting closer. I mean, it seems a little odd, doesn't it? That with all the things happening, that they just spring on us the idea that they have found something out there in the Oort cloud that a lot of scientists want to call Planet X. Right now, which is 2012 VP-113. But to some, it's hope the Planet X is coming. But what are they hoping for? This planet is supposed to be the perturber, the one that destroys everything. We'll be back. Science on one side says Planet X is real. It's right there at the Oort cloud. Other parts of science don't want to even talk about it because it's all about Nibiru and aliens and Anunnaki, and they don't want to get into that kind of discussion. I mean, what's going on here? Is there a Planet X or isn't there a Planet X? They say that, yes, they've discovered something on the other side of the Oort cloud, maybe more, including a planet called Sedna. So, I guess we're rebreathing, putting new life, new breath into the Planet X argument. Wanting to know how you feel, whether or not you think Planet X is real or you think they're just going to come up empty again. 888-673-3700. Let's go to Webster in Virginia. Hi, Webster. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, I really appreciate your program. I started listening to it quite recently. And you know what? Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, I was going to get to some points here. You know, scientists have, they've kind of calculated there was a planet, outside of Pluto, and you know, finally a planet has been discovered. I think it's naive for us to think that we're the only intelligent beings in the universe. Let's just start first of all.
Right, but an entire planet with people on it coming our way. You know, that's something that's a little bit much. I mean, these people are allegedly the gods that are on this planet that's coming our way. And when it does arrive, it would mean the fulfillment of everything. I guess, according to some people, they would think we could only say it was similar to the second coming.
Well, I look at it this way. Look at all the UFO sightings, especially here in the States, quite recently, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Let's revert back to, say, for example, what's discovered on Mars. NASA had some footages about a face, if you will, and years later they debunked it. So, who's to say that, so many long ago that has come and gone before, or maybe another situation that devastated Mars. We don't know. We know that they had water at one point, and the atmosphere has dissipated. The only thing I can think of at this point, if they discovered a planet, and if this planet has some sort of intelligent life form, whether we're prepared for it or not, at one point or another, it's going to come to a realization like United Kingdom, the government, that have come out and said that, hey, UFOs are real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And other governments continue to hoodwink us, if you will, and believe in that, okay, we're still, the only intelligent life forms in this galaxy. And
but Webster, can you fathom an entire planet, maybe the size of Jupiter, heading our way, and having that planet be the same planet, the winged planet that was talked about, that was written about by Zechariah Sitchin and several others, and that it's an ancient Sumerian legend that this winged planet is supposed to return, and when it does, it is symbolic and is wonderful and remarkable as the return of a god or the return of a savior or messiah. And what if we find that this planet is a mirror planet of our own, that there are people there that live there that are aware of our existence and that we're going to meet up with them if this planet comes our way? Now, they're not saying it's coming our way. They're not extending it to the idea that this is what it is, but they are saying that there is a planet out there in the Oort cloud that has been described for years as the same type of planet that resembles Planet X. So I don't know what to think.
How about this for food for thought, okay? Let's connect some dots, okay? Look at the pyramids in Egypt, okay? Nobody knows when they were created, but they're lined up with the stars.
You're talking about the pyramids being lined up with what you see up there on Mars. You're talking about how Cairo means city of Mars in Egyptian, and it's all similar. It all patterns out. It all matches up. I agree with you. Somewhere we've had these intelligent beings come down from another place, a higher realm. It's becoming more of a discussion now because of what Bill Clinton said. It's becoming more of a discussion now because of what we see with ancient aliens. It's becoming more of a discussion now because of the movie Noah. And now here we are being told that there is a planet that exists in the Oort cloud right there near the sun, similar to what we've been said, is called Planet X. And I'm just curious if anyone out there now is rethinking what they've thought before about this elusive, quote, hypothetical planet. Not so hypothetical now, is it? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Astronomers have extended the range of our solar system with the discovery of a new dwarf planet orbiting our sun. The planet, currently technically labeled 2012 VP113, has an elliptical orbit that brings it to within 80 AU of the sun. And AU is, of course, the unit of distance from sun to Earth at perihelion. Closest point about orbit to the sun, sometimes the distance from sun to Neptune, while it gets about 450 AU away at the other end of its orbit. The object is not unique. Astronomers have previously discovered another similar dwarf planet named Sedna. But here's the deal. The new discovery by astronomers Scott Shepard and Chad Trujillo is now hinting that this sun, or this dwarf planet, there may be other dwarf planets that are orbiting the sun in a location known as the inner Oort cloud. Now, here's what's interesting about this whole thing. That both Sedna and 2012 VP113, which are also near both their perihelions, are very similar, leading to some speculation that there may be an unknown massive body orbiting our sun that's well beyond our current sensing abilities, and that could be Planet X. I'm not kidding you. They're now saying that there's got to be something that's out there beyond our current sensing abilities that has an orbit that may be responsible for pushing these bodies into the Oort cloud near the sun. Of course, 2012 VP113 is now being called Planet X for lack of a better term. However, it's a nickname given by scientists that they're affectionately giving it that because they are biased towards the idea that there is a Planet X, that they've been trying to find a Planet X, but they have finally found what appears to be a coincidental pairing of planets that gives them reason to believe that there is a Planet X, which basically gives rebirth to the argument, or at least the debate over whether or not Planet X exists. And the coincidence about all this is that last night I discussed Bill Clinton's appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, where he basically said that he wouldn't be surprised if aliens were to make themselves known soon, which echoed Ronald Reagan's thing about if there was an alien threat, then we would all pull together. Well, I want to get you in on a little bit of information that I just received. It's very interesting. It has now been confirmed that Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons, has an ocean, a watery ocean. So I think that we're finding out more things, interesting things about the planets. And as Planetary Science is reporting, that Earth is not the only orb with an ocean. It has now been reported that Enceladus has an ocean, but the ocean is covered by ice. Water in it, theory suggesting now that if the ice, that under the ice we could find life. That's what's interesting about this, right? Theory would say, because, you know, you're looking at it, right, and the water would be kept, there would be liquid tides, there would be internal friction, and there would be heat, enough heat to keep life under the water. So, Bill Clinton coming on Kimmel, I think, was timing. First, the idea of Planet X, and now Enceladus with the water on it. Underwater, the ocean is under ice, and there's heat under there, which could generate life. And Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons. This is remarkable, and we're reporting it here tonight. But see, here's the thing. I'm sure there are plenty of scientists out there that want to try and bring this whole idea down around us. And you know, Bill Clinton said what he said. But, you know, when they first talked about Planet X, Ronald Reagan was really excited about the idea of aliens. That's why he made his statement about our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. Not only that, but he actually held a White House meeting where he showed E.T. the extraterrestrial, and he actually told Spielberg there were at least six people in the room that know the truth about the extraterrestrials. Spielberg confirmed that's what really happened at that party back in 1982.
It was an amazing, amazing evening. And he just stood up and he looked around the room almost like he was doing a head count. And he said, I want to thank you for bringing E.T. to the White House. We really enjoyed your movie. And then he looked around the room and he said, and there are a number of people in this room who know that everything on that screen is absolutely true. And he said it without smiling. But he said that. And everybody laughed, by the way. The whole room laughed because he presented it like a joke, but he wasn't smiling as he said it.
See, there you have it. Reagan once again confirming that he knew something about the aliens. Clinton saying what he said on Jimmy Kimmel. Water on Enceladus. The identification of a new planet that may prove a planet X. But see, we need to be careful here because science can bite us. They can turn around and tell us, oh, it's all debunked. You know, we have this, you know, in science, they have this caveat of, well, let's just wait and see. Or who knows what will happen? Maybe it'll change. You know, that's the problem with science. It can turn around and bite you if you're not careful. You know, it's also frustrating because the public discourse suffers when science refuses to take the fall for any and all of the erroneous calculations or even false debunking or debunking that they decide that they want to debunk because they have an agenda behind it. Science has somehow convinced us that all they deal in is factual observation. Everything that they do is factual. However, the scientists that are so-called authorities on anything out in space refuse to allow the important process of inquiry, especially when questions are about uncomfortable theories and hypothetical planets that would blow a huge gaping hole in any hypothesis that has been accepted for decades as fact. But it's not fact anymore. Everything is limitless. And I said this last night. How is it that we can have a finite idea of our own religious beliefs, anything political, when there is an infinite amount of directions we can go here? Because I believe that, look, meaningful dialogue when it comes to these types of topics and questions should be brought up, and if there is reason to think that there may be some truth to the inquiry, then perhaps it's important to bring it to the table. The only problem is that it seems that the biggest obstacle now is that any more science and religion and politics, they all come together and everybody's waiting for each other's blessing and they're not going to get it. And so if anybody wants to reveal anything, they will get ignored if it causes the power of the stronghold to slip. And the stronghold has its power on all of us to keep the information pretty much to the breast and not out there in the open so people can learn more. And so the marriage of science and politics has created this schism. And the other problem that throws itself in the entire mix is religion. In my opinion, all three are the biggest obstacles to knowledge of all things that may change the way we see ourselves in the universe. Planet X, aliens, the idea that Planet X will trigger CMEs, volcanoes, earthquakes, like they said 14 years ago, that if they found Planet X or if Planet X had any indications of it being there. I mean, come on, the planets are heating up. They say Planet Earth is heating up and they're blaming it on us. But the truth is that there is something pulling on the planets. There's something that pushes these planets like Sedna and this new one together. And they're saying there could be a body out there that we cannot see, that cannot be detected. And they're saying Planet X. This isn't made up. This was in all the science journals. I was sitting on this for 2 days. And then Clinton says what he says on Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if there are aliens out there. I want to get Roswell. X-Files. I want to believe. I did not sleep with that woman. No, I'm just saying that it just seems like the timing is remarkable. And the fact that Enceladus now has water. I mean, what, are we going to take a trip out there to see if we can find fishy life or perhaps alien life that, it's just amazing right now what's being reported. When research results for a lot of these things do not support a prevailing political, scientific, or religious view, there is this temptation to silence any and all the conclusions. We're told, oh, it's a deception, Clyde, or we're told, oh, it's this, or the political people will not enjoy this. I mean, how do Republicans feel, or how do Democrats, who cares? Who cares whether religious Republican, Democrat, or what have you believe? If it's out there, it means we need to learn more about it. It opens our minds to new things and keeps us from being dumbed down watching Fox, CNN, MSNBC, or some other stupid network telling us where that plane, oh, they haven't found it yet, have they? No, and they're still spinning conspiracy theories, aren't they? Well, guess what? Well, we're looking for a stupid plane down here. They found Planet X out there and water on Enceladus. And why is it we're not hearing about this? Well, it's because it's uncomfortable. It's uncertainty, and we don't want uncertainty. Well, wait a minute. They have uncertainty with this plane. Well, yeah. Uncertainty should be an argument for more exploration, in my opinion. Until the powers that govern science, politics, and religion open their minds to new ideas and possible clues to exogenesis and beyond, we will still be looking like shaved apes trying to assess how we lost our tails, evolving up from some slimy slug that absorbed all that goo that was in the primordial ooze that graced this planet earlier. But until then, we have the telephone and we have this forum. And so I would invite you to get involved in the dialogue tonight about Planet X, Enceladus, water on Enceladus. I mean, is this any more indication that they're trying to tell us that we're not alone? Come on. It's amazing. All of these stories coming together like this. I wouldn't be surprised if aliens are out there. Yeah. Getting closer. Closer. So close I can touch it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
Let's go to Tori in Colorado. Hi, Tori. You're on Ground Zero. Tori, are you there? Are you there? Tori, hello?
Yes, sir.
You there? Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde, I just want to say I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to you for about a year now, and I'm not very knowledgeable about the aliens and extraterrestrial life out there as far as your listeners and you guys go, but I do have a religious opinion on this whole topic, and I talked to my family members a little bit about it, and what better way for Satan and his demons and the end of the world, the Book of Revelation, what better way to come down in a form of an alien? And the Pope and his whole congregation and the whole Catholic, they have all these telescopes that are trying to find species. What better way to introduce an alien or Satan who's in the form of an alien to introduce it to the world as coming from the Pope? And to me, I just think it'd be just the perfect plan and how that would all come together.
So are you saying, let me ask you a question before you go into your next spiel. So you're saying then, what better way of Satan to deceive everybody than to say that Enceladus has water on it, and then probably there are fish swimming underneath that ocean right now up there near Saturn? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, that goes into the other thing I was going to say is, what if Satan had the power, or what if he had the idea to create his own world on a different planet just to bring that planet back down to here to Earth?
So you're okay. I just want to find out something from you. So you believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, only had the power to create people on this planet, and he wouldn't have the power to create people on other planets?
No, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that as far as the Bible goes, as for me, it sounds like it only dictates Earth. Now, if God created another planet with other forms of people, I wonder how their religion is, and did Jesus go down to that planet to try to save them as well? Or is it a totally different book that is written that is totally written differently and
okay.
Different events had happened?
So, Tori, have you read the Bible?
A little bit. Like I said, I'm not totally involved with it, but I conversate with my family, and we kind of talk, and I'm not saying I
is your
like
are you
true.
Familiar are you familiar with the book of John at all?
A little bit.
Okay, there's a chapter I want you to read. It's called John 14. All right, there's a little scripture in that in that part. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." It's an old scripture. That's why I know it by heart. It's 14, 1 or 2. It says that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Meaning that there are many places that your Father has created, many mansions in his home. Maybe the universe is his home, and that he's created many mansions for people to dwell in. So if you're saying that having a planet with people on it would be a satanic deception, then it goes against everything that the Bible tells us, right?
Yeah, okay. I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, how can it be a satanic deception? I mean, I think that's the problem. I think too many preachers have told people that if aliens or extraterrestrials are even discovered, that it'd be a great satanic deception. Well, let me clue those preachers in who are listening to this program. God is an extraterrestrial. Okay? He doesn't live here. He lives in heaven. We pray to a God above us in the sky outside of this planet. God is an extraterrestrial, preachers. So I would like for you to tell your congregation that God is an extraterrestrial. And if you think I'm being blasphemous, then so be it. But I just, every time we find a discovery out there in the Oort cloud, or maybe it's Saturn or someplace else, I always hear people tell me, well, this may be the great deception. Well, what is a great deception than God telling us that in his house are many mansions, Jesus telling us that there are many sheep that he has to teach, that there are many sheep that are not of this world, and Jesus saying himself, I am not of this world. So if he is not of this world, that there are sheep that are not of this world, and in his house are many mansions, then where's the satanic deception?
Yeah, okay. I guess that's what I needed to hear, Clyde.
I just was curious, Dory. I mean, I just need to know. So, I mean, think about it, and then email me, and we'll talk about it. Huh?
All right, Clyde. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. 888-67. See, that's the thing, is that I want to know, after I have now demonstrated here, you know, Jesus has said, I am not of this world. Other sheep I have, well, you know, they're saying that that's the spirit world. I'm sure a lot of people will say, well, that was the spirit world, Clyde. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess so. That's an interpretation. That's one interpretation. But there's other interpretations, because in my Father's house are many mansions. Or how about this? In my Father's house are many dimensions. Dimensions. Planets. Places to dwell. Places to visit. Places where God can walk. The fiery stones, as written about in the Old Testament. See, the Bible does not at all, in my opinion, discredit the possibility that there is life out in space. And the arguments where scientists fight against religion, we need the halfway point. Otherwise, we're never, ever going to progress in this universe towards more knowledge of what may be out there. And that's what I find fascinating. Because Planet X, if it exists, would be a remarkable find. And if they're saying that there are other planets on the other side of the Oort cloud, that would be even more amazing, because that would give us more reason to even speculate that there are beings that come here from those planets just to observe how we're doing over here and not interfering with our affairs. But then again, the argument is that they may be. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero on the way. Once again, they may have discovered, quote, Planet X, and Enceladus now has been found to have water under ice, and there may be heat generating out of that moon. So they're saying that there may be life out there now. Amazing finds, amazing discoveries tonight on Ground Zero. We'll be back.
There's been a lot of talk about a Planet X or Nibiru as a giant planet that's going to hit the Earth, or at least come very close. All you have to do is ask the astronomers all over the world, amateur as well as professional, and it would be visible now to the naked eye.
I'm currently driving, but I just saw a giant blimp flash in the sky.
It flashed from the west and lit up the whole freaking neighborhood.
I'm not kidding. I am terrified.
You won't believe this. You won't believe it. It's a moon. You won't believe it. It's a moon. And that is just hovering with all these lights on. I don't know what the hell it is.
Is that the crash has been pushed completely out of the way. So though you might still encounter some flashing lights down through here, don't expect any major delays associated with that. Foothill Drive contiction.
Holy, but check that out, guys. And I just was looking up, and all of a sudden I started seeing this stuff going through. And I said, John, you've got to look up quick.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. That is amazing.
Suddenly, maybe everything changes. And now you begin to wonder, what else is different? Well, one might say that you have an exact mirror image which suddenly is shattered, and there's a new reality. And therein lies the opportunity and the mystery. What else? What new? What now?
I repeat, this is Dr. Joan Tallis of SETI, the United States planet Earth. Come. This is Dr. Joan Tallis of SETI. Is someone there? Do you read me? Hello? Hello?
I thought I would be going to space.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. Ronald Reagan said that in the 80s. Bill Clinton said it just recently on Jimmy Kimmel. They have found water on Enceladus, and now they may have found Planet X. A lot of things changing. That which was once secret is being revealed. 888-673-3700. We go to Michael now in Virginia. WNIS, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. Listen, last night I waited online for 2.5 hours, and when I finally got cut off, I went away thinking, you know, I'm a little disappointed in my good friend Clyde Lewis. I think he was a little shallow tonight. Now I've done the reverse. I was the shallow one. You are, as I said some weeks ago or days ago, I know that God is leading you on your subject content. Matthew 24:30 suggests two things. It suggests that sophisticated space sensors like super telescopes and the like will be needed in conjunction with a Clyde Lewis to let all the tribes of the earth know that the Son of Man is on the way. So it divides it into two happenings. It says, first, there is a sign of the Son of Man, and then the second part of that verse says there is the actual seeing of the Son of Man by the tribes of the earth. I tell you, Clyde, you are one supernatural genius. This is incredible.
Isn't it faith promoting? Michael, listen. Isn't it faith promoting? I mean, okay. My background is in religious studies. My background is in, of course, news and history. I love the Bible because of its history. I love religious studies because of their history, whether it be the Quran, the Kabbalah, or other ancient writings, the Nag Hammadi, all of that. I love it because of the history. I love reading the Egyptian stuff. I love reading all of it. And every cultural anthropologist will tell you that there are things that are supernatural and paranormal throughout all of the histories. And if the Bible was produced through supernatural means, whether it be written by the genius hand and work and mind of God, whether or not the histories that compile around it were all circumstantial to promoting the very thing that holds us together in this world, that is a spiritual bond as children under one creator, then with all of the belief systems and denominations that we all have, we can find common ground in knowing that the halfway point is the link between mankind on Earth and his brothers and sisters that may exist among the stars. And if we neglect that opportunity to communicate with them, if we neglect that opportunity to find out who they are and what they represent, then we are selling ourselves short. And as been said in many times on this program, space is just one big waste of space.
Clyde, there's another aspect to this eschatology that emphasizes the brilliance of your point tonight. You know, it says in the book of Revelation that that the saints of God will rule and reign on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years. You remember that?
Of course, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, and then it says, you know, after they've ruled and reigned for 1,000 years, then Satan is going to be loose, and he's going to gather together mm-hmm. Gog and Magog.
Yes.
And they're going to surround the saints, you know, to the whole ends of the earth. You remember all that.
Of course, yeah. Uh-huh.
So, but then I began thinking, what is the stupid thing that eschatologists have done over the years? They have made assumptions about time, and they've made assumptions about ruling and reigning with Christ. Now,
they've also made assumptions, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to. They've made assumptions that everything you see that was revealed to John is linear. It's not linear, and I think people need to understand
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. There are assumptions about time. But think of it this way. When John wrote this book, there were no Christians sitting in high office anywhere.
No.
There were no saints in high office anywhere. But we've been seeing Christians rule on earth for more than 1,000 years now. So, you know, I mean, there's all these stupid Falwellian, Tim LaHaye kind of simplistic non-understanding of the complexities of time and how it has all changed as a result of technology. These guys are out of it. For example, just one quick example. They talk about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And what is the rapture as defined there? It is the saints being caught up in the clouds with Christ. Well, Jesus told us before he left that he is with us always, that we will never be without him, will never leave us or forsake us. He's with us now. And we're flying in the clouds now.
Well,
we live in the firmament.
Yes, we live in the firmament. And with this discovery of us being in the heavens, you know, we don't even know that we're in the heavens as we are now, that we've fallen from one state to the other, that there are other beings out there that have concern for our welfare, both concern and disdain, because we do have to include the fact that we have learned that there are opposition type of beings or agents that are in the work of perhaps a devil, for lack of a better marketing term. But we're looking at the possibility that we're getting closer to the veil being lifted and all things will be revealed. That is what an apocalypse is. Apocalypse is a word meaning the unraveling or the revealing. And as the revealing takes place, we realize that this is the apocalypse. The apocalypse is not an evil thing. It is a time for great knowledge. It is a time for realizing just where we are in this universe. And if we decide that we do not want to venture out beyond the idea that we are the only things here, then we most certainly will suffer in our evolutionary process. And yes, we will need transhumanist ideas. And yes, we will need to download ourselves into little computers and have some guy hit a delete key every time we think of something bad. I'm just saying we need to go beyond, and transcendence is more than just going from mind to computer to digital. It's the idea of being able to go outside your conscious self, move into the universe, move forward amongst the planets, and realize that the planets need seeding, care, and life. And that is our challenge. That's why we were told to multiply and replenish. That's why it says in the movie Noah, we are supposed to multiply and replenish. That's why it was said in the Garden of Eden, we're supposed to multiply and replenish. That is why in those books we hear of other beings that tried to thwart that possibility of multiply and replenishing. And that is why we're being told now, if aliens exist, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not going to come. There's a Planet X. There's water on Enceladus. It's an amazing time to be alive, Michael. And I think it's something that we need to embrace.
Clyde, one more point to bring it more to the immediate and Bill Clinton. You know, things happen on different levels. But think about this. When Bill Clinton was on Jimmy Kimmel Live saying what he said, that was 3 days after top astrobiologist Richard Hoover was on a major national show saying that NASA had deliberately destroyed evidence of life on Mars, and that he and Michael Malin, the late Dr. Michael Malin, both confirmed this. So when you do bring on our Richard C. Hoagland, I think he is going to be declared the scientist of the century.
Well, I tell you, you got to email him and encourage him to come on my program, because I haven't talked to Hoagie in a long time, and I'd love to speak with him. I love him, and I want him to come back on my program and speak. I haven't spoken to him since way before, I think it was like 2002, 2003. I think it was the last time I spoke with him. So it's been a few years, and now that I'm on nationally, I think it's best that Richard, I know that Richard, maybe I could see if George will let me borrow him for a while, but it would be interesting to have him come on this program and have him speak. Michael, thank you so much for your support and for your call tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good night. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Are you as passionate about the idea of finding life? I mean, look, for some, it's been 60 years. For others, it's been 70 years. For people like Stanton Friedman, Whitley Strieber, and several other people that are out there, Richard Hoagland, you know, all of these people out there that have been looking for the truth. And it's finally being revealed slowly, and it's finally being showed. And these men, who are now getting too old to continue, need people to pay attention now, because we need to carry that story further. Because once it is discovered, once it is truly revealed, we need to know what is the deception. Because there will be deception with regard to these beings. There will be deception with regard to life on other planets. There will be deceptions being thrown at us. I agree. But it's not all one big deception. I think it's logical to think that there's some life forms out there. Other people felt the same way. They talked about civilizations. I mean, billions of stars, billions of possibilities. The sky is no longer the limit. It is what is beyond the sky that has people now wondering, are we alone? Before it was, the truth is out there, I want to believe. Now it is, it's time to start looking and start confirming. Faith will only get you so far. And then you have to start finding the facts. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Keep it here.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go to Jeff in Kansas. Hi, Jeff. You're on Ground Zero.
Clyde Lewis. Hey, you know, I took an astronomy class in 78 as an elective because I could, and life on Earth is existent only due to the Earth's position in accordance to the sun. Now, we know for a fact, astronomers do anyway, that the only planets that are going to acceptably be able to inhabit life as we know it now you know, I'm not ignoring the fact that extraterrestrial life could exist either, because I've never seen an extraterrestrial being, and believe this, but point number two is the God did not have enough time to create mankind on the Earth. You do realize this, don't you? Evolution had to exist. Man has only been on the Earth for what, like
a million years or maybe less, I think. So.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what you believe. I mean, I think there are a number of people who have theorized that mankind, if they go to the original name of Adam, which is Adamu, meaning man of the red dust or red clay, there are some that speculate that man was created on Mars, and that we, with the fall of man, was literally a fall from Mars to the planet Earth.
Mars can't inhabit life. We know that, too.
Well, not at this moment it couldn't have life, but could it? They're now speculating that maybe at one time life did exist on Mars, and that Mars was had an ocean. You know, it's named Mars, you know. Go figure.
The Earth as we know it now is not the Earth, but the Sun as we know it is halfway through its lifetime, some 2.5 billion years old. Eventually, it's going to actually, it's 4.5 billion years old. In about 2 billion years or possibly less, it's going to be too hot to live on the Earth anyway, because the Sun will die. In other words, it will supernova, expanding just as the balloon does to envelop the whole solar system. So eventually, life on Earth is going to have to go to Mars. So eventually, life will in fact exist on Mars, at least until the Sun envelops it as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I understand that. In fact, several people like Stephen Hawking and others have said that we're going to have to make preparations to at least send some of us off this planet to populate other planets and keep the species alive, because we're looking at an extinction level event that's going as slow as it can. And that it's happening now, and that we're in the middle of it. We're not realizing that we're in the middle of it.
That is, provided that environmental problems don't do away with this before the Sun does anyway, right?
Well, that's if you believe these environmental problems won't go away through complexity theory and complexity science. I mean, you know, you go to Mount St. Helens out here, where Mount St. Helens blew up. The whole area was devastated. It was like, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. It was ugly there. But now, after so many years, everything's grown back. It's beautiful. It's pristine. Animals are there, and it's like nothing hit it. So, I mean, it just tells me that there's a promise there that whether you believe in a God or not, that there's always I guess you could call it the rejuvenation or recycling or resurrection of all things, plants, animals, life. Life continues, and it always seems to find a way, because it just seems like that seems to be the secret to it all, is that life continues and will continue. It never seems to go away.
It's evolution.
Well, that's what they call it, but don't tell your creationist friends that. It's evolution, a natural evolution of things that could be under the design of some great and wondrous genius, and people will call it God, or whether they call it developers or custodians or whatever you want to call it. There's something out there that's keeping this synchronized. There's something out there that keeps this moving. I don't want to entirely think it's an accident, but it certainly builds spirituality. When you look out, you see a sunset, or you're on a mountain peak, and you can look over the beauty, and it's just wonderful, you know?
Like Clyde, certain stars are so many light years away from us now that they may have already supernovas. As a matter of fact, can you believe that? 186,400 miles a second, and we are still seeing the light from, in fact, a star that supernova died.
Yeah.
Lord knows how many light years away.
Jeff, it's even more unfathomable to think that you look up into the sky and what are you seeing? You're seeing the past. Isn't that amazing? It's what it is. Jeff, hey, thank you for your call. Thank you for enlightening me tonight. And I love it when callers make me think. That's what it's about, right? Thinking, hopefully not reacting, but reacting happens too. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I'm excited to tell you that they have... They're looking at possibilities of Planet X. The whole idea is coming back into the light. Some people are debunking it, but still, the idea is there. And Enceladus, of course, the moon out there, there's water right there under the ice. Believe me, if I were like Glenn Beck, I would have a blackboard behind me, and I would have a pointer, and I would have a visual, and I would say, okay, let's go down the chain of events that have happened in the past few weeks. Barack Obama meets with Pope. Queen meets with Pope. What are they discussing? I don't know. Chris Putnam and I talked about the possibility that maybe discussing they found something out in space. What could they have found out in space, Clyde? I don't know. But then Bill Clinton shows up on the Jimmy Kimmel show and says, if there was life on other planets, I wouldn't be surprised. You know what? If our differences worldwide on this planet would change if we found out there were aliens out there. Yep. Just like Ronald Reagan said back in the 1980s when they said, well, maybe there's a Planet X. And he says, ha, there's no Planet X. It's all bunkum. It's all hokum. It's all crazy. Right? And then recently, There's been talk about the announcement of 2012 VP-113, which has breathed new life into the Planet X discussion. There may be more coincidences out there that we have not planned on, right? But perhaps there is a planet out there. I mean, there's Sedna, there's this 2012 VP-113, and there may be an even bigger planet out there that we cannot find yet. Planet X? Who knows? But here's the thing. So they announced today, too, that they have found that perhaps Enceladus, I guess, I don't know, it depends on how you say it. I say Enceladus, you say Enceladus, right? They have now found that Enceladus may have water underneath its ice crust. And they're thinking that there's warmth in the water, enough warmth that could generate heat, that could generate life, perhaps life that lives underwater. And so that gives us another reason to think that maybe they're getting close to announcing to us that something remarkable is about to be announced. Now, we know that the Pope, for some time now, has focused his telescopes on space. We talked about this last night. We find it interesting that the movie Noah also talks about the Nephilim. L.A. Marsuli on the program saying the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, talking about all these so-called alien groups that tried to thwart. Well, the Anunnaki are kind of like the gods. I think that we're looking at the Nephilim as trying to thwart the plan of God. So now we're hearing about the ancient Sumerian planet X, Nibiru. Now they're not calling it Nibiru. But many people say, well, maybe this is opening up the dialogue about Nibiru. And of course, 14 years ago, we were told, well, if they find Planet X, man, this planet's going to be seeing all kinds of craziness, earthquakes everywhere. There's going to be volcanoes everywhere, CMEs, all kinds of strange weather, dogs sleeping with cats, real apocalypse stuff here. And guess what? We're in the middle of all these earthquakes, volcanoes, crap going on, craziness. We have all this CME stuff happening. It's an amazing time to be alive, ladies and gentlemen, because there's so many interesting things happening. And I think that it's so terrible to think that there are people out there that don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to explore. They don't want to open their minds to it. That they're thinking that this is a scary time, or they're wanting to debunk it, or their religious beliefs won't let them believe in it, or science won't believe in it because they say, well, we don't want to get into that Nibiru stuff because then we'd have to admit that there's a God. You can't even have the halfway point between creationism and the idea that there's intelligent design out there, whether it be extraterrestrial or other. I tell you, as I said at the beginning of this year, that which has been hidden is now about to be revealed. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Jessica in Arkansas. Hi, Jessica. You're on Ground Zero.
Clyde, that which has been hidden is about to be revealed. I was Googling some images of the Queen meeting with the Pope because I'd heard that Obama was meeting with the Pope and all these people are meeting with the Pope. And looking at these images, I was more interested in what was behind the Queen and the Pope, which is a very unusual painting. It has symbolism, zodiac symbolism. It has what appears to be planets in orbit, a wormhole,
uh-huh,
a man hugging an alien. I mean, this is the creepiest thing. And
well,
I
got to tell you,
disclose something.
I want to tell you, I did something, Jessica, just so that your call will be the most effective call of the night, and I'll tell you why. I saw that you had messaged me this picture, so I enlarged it, and I put an arrow pointing to the tapestry that's behind the Queen and the Pope. And certainly what we're looking at is we have this tapestry, and in the tapestry, what looks like a wormhole, you're correct, there are planets surrounding the wormhole. You see the spheres, right, that they're circling? Are you looking at it right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you see the spheres circling in the wormhole?
Yes, sir.
You see the angels that are on the side witnessing the embracing of what looks like a man with a bulbous-headed figure.
It looks like the angels are actually holding some kind of antenna, and they're actually either projecting this image into the sky or they're opening up a wormhole to reveal this.
Yeah.
And I put a couple of links also in my comments below. I put links to the Norway Spiral, just in case, you know, your listeners probably do know what the Norway Spiral is.
Yes, I do.
And also the Large Hadron Collider, because I found also with Googling some more images of, you know, that show this painting or this tapestry. And it does actually, you know, it sort of reminds me of the Norway Spiral, but then it also reminds me of the Large Hadron Collider. It almost, you know, it seems like it has some structure to it.
Yeah, it has. It most definitely represents a wormhole. It's like it's a maelstrom, which would be a whirlwind or what they call Elijah's vehicle. And in this maelstrom or this circling whirlwind or the circling wormhole, there are what look like two beings. One is a bulbous-headed figure hugging another what looks like man figure. And then there are two angels witnessing this happening. And the Pope is there with the Queen, and they're standing there. Prince Philip's on the side. I cut him out because nobody wants to look at Prince Philip. But if you go to my site, if you go to my Facebook page, I have brought it closer so that we can see that there is no doubt that what you're looking at is a tapestry behind both the Pope and the Queen that shows what looks like a man embracing an alien with the angels witnessing it in a wormhole. It's an amazing tapestry.
I just want to tell everybody, don't be deceived by this. I mean, if this happens, no matter what you see, we have the technology now. I think there was a president in Turkey or somewhere who actually had an hologram technology and had projected himself up into the sky to thrill his followers or something. I mean, we have this technology. We have hologram technology now.
Remember when I was talking about the Jesus singularity, Jessica? And I was saying that we do have the technology to even replicate God in the mind of a robot or in the mind of what could be a technological marvel that looks human? I mean, this is something that, you know, it adds to the conversation as well. All of these shows that I've been talking about in the past week have all led us to this moment. And here we are, this moment in time where both we see the Queen meeting with the Pope and Obama meeting with the Pope, and that tapestry behind them, it looks like an alien embracing mankind, and the announcement by Bill Clinton and how it echoed what Ronald Reagan said, and now Planet X, the discovery of possible Planet X, and then the discovery of water in Enceladus. I think even Ceres they're saying that there's water on Ceres as well. So what do you think of that, Jessica?
I just believe that, you know, they have, it's sort of like I've heard the Illuminati, they have to kind of reveal things a little bit at a time before they do something. They, you know, I don't know if that's what they do, but it seems like they do just give us a little piece of information at a time so that if we catch up on it, you know, we'll know what's going on. I don't know if
so
it's us.
Do you believe that aliens are satanic, or would you think that maybe we would have both sides of the fence fighting it out?
I think we'll see a little bit of both. We'll, you know, when the deception comes, I think that, you know, we may be seeing angels and demons at the same time.
Okay.
It may be hard to distinguish the truth.
Okay.
Because it's all going to come down at once, but it's in Revelation. I mean, you can read that for yourself if you know, and you can see it's coming down.
Well, it obviously is, and I think that we've demonstrated this on this program, and I really thank you, Jessica, for being alert, and just want to remind everybody that Jessica, the picture that she's speaking of, we just posted on the Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/groundzeroradio, hit the like button, and then go through what we posted just the last couple minutes, you'll see the picture zoomed in of the Queen and the Pope standing together. The Queen's a little cut off, though, but we focused in on the tapestry, and there you will see it in a wormhole, a man embracing what looks like an alien with the angels watching. It's an amazing tapestry, so it makes you wonder what they most certainly were talking about there when they were meeting. Jessica, thank you for pointing that out to us, and you have a great night. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Breaking news on this program tonight as we're revealing slowly what is happening with regard to the revelation of possible disclosure that maybe we will know for sure soon, and it will be admitted that life exists out there, from Planet X to Enceladus, from a tapestry behind the Queen and the Pope. It makes you wonder if it's being talked about behind closed doors as we speak. It's funny, a lot of people are excited about what I'm talking about tonight. Oscar and Hector, who are listening, they're driving, and they're saying, this is the most amazing thing we've ever heard. So I'd like to say, Oscar, Hector, good hearing from you. And David, of course, is in San Antonio saying he's enjoying listening to this tonight. A lot of people listening to this are really excited about what this means. I'm excited for what it means. I mean, we're getting closer. This is as close as I think we're getting. So close we can touch it. Finally confirming that maybe we're not so alone on this planet. I don't know if intelligent life is out there. There probably won't go as far as to say there's intelligent life. Hell, it's hard to find intelligent life on this planet. But still, we need to remember that, you know, here we are in times where something is about to be revealed to us. It's going to change the way we see ourselves. And many people thought it was a war. Many people thought it was a number of other things. But I can tell you this. I'm really feeling that if we're looking at Enceladus with the water, we may find a discovery that we could see that maybe there's plant, fish, or what kind of life. Can you imagine what fish would be like, you know, out there near Saturn? Or Planet X, if there is a Planet X, or if there is another planet that are pushing more planets like Sedna and others together in this area near the Oort cloud. These are some very amazing discoveries. And we've heard about all of these other planets, like Bill Clinton said on Kimmel the other night, that have been discovered that could sustain life. So it just makes it even more amazing to be alive in this time. 888-673-3700. We go to Rick in Tennessee, WTAM. You're on Ground Zero.
Thank you a lot. First of all, I'd like to tell you that I keep praying that you won't ever stop doing what you're doing about getting the message out. Wish I had the time to tell you all that I know about the alien factor. But I believe, you know, I'm going to come to the point per your call screener. I believe, based on my knowledge, my research, my life, my age, everything, that they, whoever they you want to call they, the powers that be, mm-hmm. are trying to ease us into, as you say, to prepare us for or to get us accustomed to the idea of what you just said, something of good's about to happen, that they want us to accept it without shocking the public or panicking us, like we're not a capable or intellectual enough to receive what is about to be revealed, as you call it.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe with all my heart and have for many years, starting way back in my 20s, and I'm 70-something now, I believe that they have been trying to nurture us for years toward this end product, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They know a lot more about it than they're telling us, or probably ever will tell us. I do wish, Clyde, that some of these people that call would do their research and read and learn before they start spouting off their inane statements, because if they would but open books, if they would get on the internet and go to their libraries or whatever and discuss on an intellectual basis, on a high level, what is up, I think that the calls would be a lot more enlightening. That one lady that you just talked about, the tapestry, I think is absolutely brilliant radio, in my opinion. So I wanted to tell you that, and I've been listening to you for a long time. One of these days, I wish that we could get together and have the time to tell you about what I have seen and so forth. I'll leave you one. First, I'd like to make a request before I leave, with your permission, to read for the people that are listening that will not open the book and read. I'd like your permission to read chapter 14, verse 2 of the scripture, if you'll
allow. Please
read
it quickly.
That.
Yes, do it now. Mm-hmm.
All right, real quickly, and then I'll tell you about the pictures. All right, 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus was not a liar. I have seen pictures in Roswell, New Mexico, of alien life forms that had expired that were taken by relatives of the people involved in the Roswell thing who have hid them up away from the government and the public for all these years, grandsons, daughters, aunts, and so forth, of those who are still alive, and the funeral home where the alien bodies were put into caskets and so forth. They are real. They do exist, and they can call me a nut if they want to, but seeing is believing. And these were not staged pictures. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to know that, Clyde. And I hope and pray you do keep this message going.
Rick, I want to tell you this. I had a meeting the other day with Larry Overman of the Ghost Mine. I told him that one of the things I would love to do for Halloween coming up in October is to go to Tennessee and investigate the Bell Witch. If you could organize that through WTAM, I would love to meet you. So let's think.
I would love to meet you in person too. If you let me know, we can do it.
Let's think Tennessee. Let's think Vols. Let's think Nashville. Let's think
Knoxville.
Knoxville. Okay. Let's think of Knoxville. Let's think, you know, all of those places. And let's go out there and let's do an investigation. And I would love to meet you, Rick.
All right. Well, thank you. And may God bless you and what you're doing. You are more than an evangelist. You are a harbinger of the truth. And I really have faith and support. I listen to you constantly.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. You have a great night. Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673. Yeah, I was talking with Larry. And I said I always wanted to go out and go to the Bell Witch Cave out in Tennessee and maybe meet some of the listeners at WTAM land. So if you're listening, WTAM, let's organize a trip to the Bell Witch Caves and let's do a live remote out there. I would love it. Just like we went out to Martinez last year to do the Zodiac investigation. I would love to go to Tennessee. I love the South. It's a beautiful place.
Planet X breathing new life into the argument that there may be a planet out there beyond the Oort cloud. Maybe Jor 3. Enceladus has water under its crusty, icy covering. It's like a Tootsie Roll. How many licks will it get to life out there in space? And a tapestry hanging behind the Pope and Queen Elizabeth has got people raising eyebrows. It looks like a man hugging an alien in the middle of a wormhole as angels observe. What are they trying to tell us? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go down to Nate in New York, WSYR. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. I just wanted to bring up the point that, you know, I would just put the thought out there that this is a great deception caused by our governments in an attempt to bring about a one-world government, one-world leader. There's a lot of things out there, especially with the FEMA camps being, you know, reestablished and made big to keep people in, and, you know, all the conspiracy stuff. I believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says that this world is going to perpetuate, and for us to be seeking life outside of this planet, he gave us this earth to restore. And it says in the book of Daniel and Revelation that the Antichrist is going to deceive the whole world. The whole world is going to be deceived into believing this great leader who's going to rise up in the midst of all of our turmoil.
Okay, so where do aliens fit into this? Where do extraterrestrials, where do new discoveries out in space fit into this?
Sure.
It's no different than saying there's a new type of animal out there.
You
want
to, you know, spin it.
Well, you can spin it as fallen angels. That doesn't necessarily mean they're fallen angels, man. It doesn't mean that at all.
Right. It could, yeah, we could have, back then they could have understood them as angels, you know? Whether it's an alien race or however it looks, it's all spoken of right there in the Bible, oldest book on the planet.
It's
all
an extraterrestrial, first of all, it's an extraterrestrial race. We call it an alien race because the word alien means that we don't want it here or it's foreign to our planet. But the truth is, extraterrestrials, anything that is outside of this planet that comes down from heaven to visit with us, is extraterrestrial. So that means angels are extraterrestrials. That means God's an extraterrestrial. Heck, it even means Jesus is an extraterrestrial, or part human as well. And we just call those guys gods, for lack of a better term.
Okay, so the God who created the earth
is an extraterrestrial.
Who perpetuated the Bible that's made it last for so long.
Is an extraterrestrial.
Prophesied about, what's that?
Is an extraterrestrial.
Okay, so if that's your definition, it's not my definition, but...
Okay, stop then. What is your definition, Nate? What is God if he's not an extraterrestrial?
God is God. For me and my humanity...
God is what? Where does God live, Nate?
What?
Where does God live?
You know, that's
beyond where I can't fathom where God is.
Does he live right here on planet Earth? Can you go down the street and meet up with him and go fishing with him? Does he live here on planet Earth?
Well, I believe he's, I think his spirit is here. I think if
Nate, you're not answering my question. Does God dwell here on Earth, or do we pray to a God in heaven?
Yeah, I'd say we would pray to a God in heaven.
Okay, so what is heaven? It is the sky, the firmament out there in the stars somewhere?
It says that there are three different heavens. There is the heaven that's the sky, there's the heaven that is where the stars are dwelling, then there's the third heaven, which is, we're not sure of where that is.
But anything that's up above the earth...
It could be out there in one of those. I'm not doubting that there's this planet. It could be a very
What I'm saying is the farther you get away from the planet, the farther away you are from the planet, the more extraterrestrial you become. Because you are beyond terrestrial. Terrestrial means Earth. So anything extraterrestrial means that it is beyond this Earth. That's why they call it an extraterrestrial.
Okay. So, but the point is that I think that the world is going to be deceived into following a different, however you want to spin it, terrestrial being that is pulling us away from the one who actually created us.
We all know that there is going to be some sort of an Antichrist. We all know that. But see, I don't think anyone is requiring, Nate, people to worship aliens or worship extraterrestrials. And I don't think anyone is requiring you to see them as anything more than an extension of who we are and an extension of the creation of the God that's created us here. Now, would that be a deception if we found that God had an extension and that extension was that to all planets, to all creation, from Earth to other planets and all the mansions that exist out there that God has dwelled in, wouldn't we have brothers and sisters, heavenly brothers and sisters, extraterrestrial brothers and sisters that may have consideration or at least concern for us because they've been observing us from afar, just like we've been trying to observe them?
I'm not sure about all that. I'm more concerned about with what's going on here on this planet.
I am talking about what's going on here on this planet. They are discovering that there may be all of the building blocks for life on moons of Saturn. They're saying there may be a planet X. They're saying that there may be creation outside of this planet. And you're saying that it's a deception and you refuse to answer any of my questions and you dodge them.
No, I agree that, as far as we understand who God is, he's outside of our understanding, outside of this planet.
So what does that make him?
Yeshua rose up.
What does that make him?
Visually saw him rising up. Where did he get in a spaceship and go somewhere? I don't know.
Okay. Well, then, is it such a deception?
All I'm saying is that the book that's been written over thousands of years ago has talked of this from day one.
Right.
And I'm just saying, just be careful. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody's wrong.
I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm trying to get something out of you that you refuse to give me, and that is, God is an extraterrestrial. He lives outside of this planet. A chariot of fire. What does that mean to you? When you read in the Bible that they saw chariots of fire, chariots are vehicles that traveled, that got people to and from where they needed to go. So if you see in the sky a chariot of fire, Nate, listen, if you look in the sky and the prophets see a chariot of fire, a vehicle that is on fire or looks like it's glowing, or if you're Ezekiel and you look up and you see a wheel within a wheel, what is that? Is that a deception?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is that whatever God does, there is a counterfeit. There is someone who is trying to counterfeit what he does and draw away his creation from him. That's all I'm saying is just to be cautious that the counterfeit is going to replicate everything that our Creator did to try and draw his greatest creation away from him. And unless you carry his mark, the God of our Creator, the world will be deceived into following this false, a false being. That's all I'm saying.
So the aliens are the false beings that we'd be following. That we would be like
there could be
the Pied Piper
our,
leading us to the ocean.
Don't have our best interest at heart. Let's just say that.
Okay. They don't have our best interest at heart, in your opinion.
I'm not saying that everything that is out there is out to kill us. What I'm saying is that there are beings that I believe that do not have our best interest at heart.
Well, I would agree with
and
you. In fact, I would say Nate,
beings are the least people that I would trust.
Nate, I would say that the majority of aliens out there are not here to save us. They're here to eat us. I've said that before, and I agree, because I'm a 14, and I believe that, yes, we are other people's property, and they pluck us, and they play with us, and they throw us around like seals, like killer whales throw seals around in the ocean. But the truth is there may be that possibility,
sure,
that the creation out there, there's some out there that's not hostile, and some want to
I would totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you on that. It would not surprise me if God did something like that. I think our Creator is very creative, and He's got all things under control, and He's got good things out there for us. But we have to be mindful of who He is first, mm-hmm, and then those things will come.
So He's got everything under control, yet we're going to, if he has it under control, then I have a feeling that maybe if we are being subjected or at least exposed to these aliens, whatever they might be, extraterrestrials, maybe it's for our own good. You ever thought about that?
Well, what I think about is that God had a plan from the beginning, and we are being tested. Are we going to choose His ways, or are we going to choose a different way? Just the same way he did with Adam and Eve. These are the things that I gave you. You can choose to do this, or you can choose to do it the way I did. And I think He wants a people for Himself that are going to be faithful to Him and not trust or follow after other gods.
But regardless of what you're saying, you're making it sound like that it's His way, and that if there is an alien or discovery of aliens or discovery of anything else, then that's not His way. That it's not His plan.
Well,
and I don't know if you can be that. Okay.
If you have a chess player who is like just a master chess player, they think like 10 moves ahead. Now you think about God, who is the ultimate chess player, a military advisor, however you want to look at it, but can read his adversary 100 trillion moves out before he even gets to point A. He's already reinforced the area. I'm not saying that God planned any of that, but He knows the adversary's moves way before He does. So He's already got him outwitted way ahead of the game. So if you just look at a chess player that plays a novice who's a master chess player, He's already got him beat before he even started. But do you think that the chess player who's a master planned it that way or
manipulated it that way. What's the point in playing God
in
chess if you know He's going to win? It'd be a boring game. I wouldn't take God on in a chess game.
It's all about the prize at the end. What can the adversary get? If we believe that the Bible is the Bible, God's most prized possession is His creation, which is us. Satan is a jealous
and his
being.
And his they creation think? That exists elsewhere, I believe. Too.
What's that?
And his creation that exists elsewhere, I believe as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure about it. I'm just talking about. Yeah. I mean, you could go that way as well.
Okay.
I mean,
all
it's
right.
Just to pull out.
Right. All right, Nate. Hey, I got to run. The music's playing. But anyway, thanks for your call. Thanks for calling in tonight. Well, we found out the name of the tapestry that is behind the Queen and the Pope. It's called Abrazio Cosmico. Abrazio, of course, Italian for like brazo and embrace. In Spanish is brazo, embrace. Cosmico, cosmic. So it's cosmic embrace. The full title is Cosmic Embrace, the Love That Moves the Sun and the Other Stars. So it is an embrace between mankind and an alien. That's exactly what it is. And it was a tapestry that was done by Camilian Demetrescu, who is Romanian, who was a naturalized Italian. So there you go. Makes you wonder what they're discussing. If they have that behind them, it's amazing, isn't it? Let's go down to Anna in California, KOGO. You're on Ground Zero.
Anna? Thank you, Clyde. If Nathan
a totally confused being. Oh my God.
Okay.
But anyways, isn't it sad that an alien a species will unite according to Reagan? Because, you know, and why should they be nice to us? We are such a violent civilization. And we don't learn. We do horrible things to one another. So why would the aliens welcome us?
See, I've always,
they don't want to.
Well, see, I've always wondered what it's going to take to get us to be in the mindset to accept the possibility of this, and that we can't even find spirituality in a lot of things. And even if we have a Bible in our hand, many people still don't know the meaning of the word tolerance, love, open heart, turning the other cheek, everything that Christ taught us. I mean, I find in one hand we have people who say, Jesus said, love thy neighbor. Jesus said, love everyone. Jesus said, love, love, love. Right. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But then the minute something goes down, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, it doesn't make any sense. You know?
It doesn't. Well, that's why this guy sounded so totally confused. And, he confused everybody, I think. I don't know. It's people who do not know how to interpret the Bible, and they try to do it in their own mind, which is not very, I don't want to say developed, but it's such a contradiction all the time when it comes to the Bible.
People find it uncomfortable when new things are exposed, or at least there's light put on these things. They feel uncomfortable, and if they don't understand it, it's immediately labeled as evil or chaotic or something.
Or satanic.
Or alien.
And he said that we are the... Did he say that God created us his most wonderful beings or something?
Well,
I think he made us...
They were perfect beings in the garden until, you know... I mean, if we want to get into theology here, they were perfect beings in the garden until they had to find out what the real truth is, and that Satan tried to thwart the entire bloodline and continued to do so throughout Genesis. So, I mean, here we are discussing these beings again, maybe learning that they exist or they've always existed, and that we may have to change what we see in the Bible or think in the Bible. And that is why they call it the deception, because we can't change an interpretation of the Bible. Not that it's not been done several times over, and that King James didn't do it and those before him didn't do it, and that we eliminated certain books. But hey, do it now, it's anathema. You don't do it. Meantime, the Pope and the Queen are standing next to a tapestry that shows a man embracing an alien. That's
And we are the deception, not the aliens.
Well, I thank you, Anna, for your call. Talk to you soon. We're out of time. We'll be back with more. We're got another hour coming, so keep it here. We'll be back. 888-673-3700. I'm going to make a prediction, and that is Abrazio Cosmico is going to go viral on the internet by tomorrow, if not Monday. That is the tapestry that is behind the Pope and the Queen. It means cosmic hug. Cosmic embrace. And what it shows is planets, wormhole, two angels, and a couple embracing, whether it be male or female, is anyone's guess. It's definitely male, but the other embracing character has just got a bulbous head. So if it's a cosmic hug, I'm wondering who we are hugging cosmically. Whether it's God hugging his children, or man hugging alien, or the embrace that goes beyond the stars. And we had speculated weeks before, when Barack Obama and the Queen were meeting with the Pope, they were going to discuss the possibility of extraterrestrial life, and that they were going to try to find ways to announce it to their people. But we had Bill Clinton beat us to the punch by saying that he wouldn't be surprised if aliens are out there. And Planet X, the possibility of Planet X has been discovered. They also, a recent article that I just uncovered in The Economist says here, Earth is not the only orb with oceans. In 2005, Cassini, an American spacecraft, saw plumes of water shooting into space from cracks in the icy surface of Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons. These suggest that Enceladus, too, has an ocean. An ocean, albeit one completely covered by ice, the water in it, theory suggests, would be kept liquid by tides, which creates internal friction and therefore heat. On April 3rd, a team led by Luciano Less of the University of Rome confirmed, from the University of Rome, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is getting good. Oh, this is fantastic. You guys, I mean, I hope you're enjoying this as much as I do. You know, it's entertaining for me to be reading this with you, sharing it with you tonight. The discovery on a Friday night. Look, what are you doing? You driving around? You looking for a bar to go to? You having fun? You're going on a long trip and you're listening to my show. Whatever you're doing, stop the presses. Luciano Less of the University of Rome confirmed that oceans exist on Enceladus. He also showed that, like Earth, it's not all embracing. Embracing? Dr. Less describes in a paper in Science how his team mapped Enceladus gravity by tracking Cassini's orbit. The moon's southern hemisphere is less massive, and it would be where there would be no ocean, but its northern hemisphere is not, so the ocean covers only the southern part of the moon. In the meantime, we announced on this program that scientists have found a planet called 2012 VP13, which is now regenerating more interest in the idea of Planet X, the Planet X discussion. Last February, I was discussing Planet X on the show because of the so-called asteroids were being tracked and the explosion of a rock over Russia. And a number of people had told me that, well, they had shared with me 14 years ago that, hey, Clyde, if Planet X is discovered, we'll find that Planet X is out there. And when we do, there'll be earthquakes, CMEs, volcanoes, all kinds of craziness going on. Heck, last week was one for the record books. The weekend, man, everything was shaking. And you know what's hilarious about it all? You know, we were talking about the possibility of the bison leaving there and mammoth and at Yellowstone, and now it's trending on Yahoo. That was 2 weeks ago on our show. It's trending now on the internet. They're discussing, oh, this is all bunk. You know, poachers. They're running away from poachers. That's what's being said. They're running away from poachers. Not that helium has been detected there. Not that that's a fact. Not that they've been hearing the rumbles going on. But I don't want to cast any aspersions out there saying that the volcano is about to go and blow and we were going to have the apocalyptic crescendo and everybody's going to die and California's going to... No, I'm not going to say that. It's just that it's amazing how it all falls into place. It's amazing how we are all together in this and we're discussing this. It's amazing. It's just you and me. I'm sipping some coffee. Hold on. Good coffee. I'm sipping coffee. The lights are dim and you and I are talking. We're going to discuss this. I think it's just amazing how it's all going down for sure. Let's go down to Mitchell in Portland. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, good Friday to you.
Good Friday to you.
I've been enjoying your program this evening. I had some questions since I seen this video on YouTube about who built the moon.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And I've heard several of your earlier callers always referencing the Bible. And I would challenge all your listeners who have a Bible to just look at Genesis chapter 1 and read no further down than the third day, verse 13 in creationism. And you'll find out that we have been duped. We've been kind of hoodwinked. The editors got this wrong. Right after that, you find that after all this creation, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that, let there be plants. Then all of a sudden, it seems that God turned out all the lights, but that isn't written in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he created a great light, two of them, one of them to call the sun, one to call the moon. Now, he created everything before that with the let there be light. And you'll see where grass is growing and everything before that. So we've been duped. We've been hoodwinked. The moon, I believe, is a construct to suppress our knowledge, to suppress our abilities.
Well, the moon, let me ask you this. Wouldn't you say, and wouldn't you agree, that the moon was more or less a scale model of the sun? Because it just seems so adequate that the shadow fits right there on the moon during an eclipse, and of course the moon fits right there over the sun in the distance that it does to create the eclipse that it creates. So don't you find that interesting? It's sort of a scale model or a scale from the distance, and they knew mathematically, accurately, that this was going to happen like twice a year?
Well, and how it's timed to the cycles of our species, to the woman. You know, the timing of the moon. The moon is just a construct. It's not a natural thing up there. I believe it to be there to suppress us. And if you look at the creationism in the Bible, okay, if you can get past Genesis, the first chapter, and not figure out that that is just a total hoax, God didn't write that. We know, right? It was man, supposedly by the inspiration of God. Did he inspire him to be a literary idiot so that someone would figure out that he had to have turned off the light in order to create two other lights? I mean, we have to look in the mirror and kind of bitch slap ourselves awake. We live in a time where everything is thrown at us, and we think that this is a real happening, a real event.
So do you think, now here's something to think about. I want to ask you this before you get into the Pope and the Queen, because you're fascinating the hell out of me. So do you think that the moon, and this is, okay, 4.6 billion years ago, this moon was put in our orbit. Do you think the moon was actually an art piece that was just put there as a reminder of something? I mean, because that's what it seems. I mean, somehow 4.6 billion years ago, they were able to put that moon up there, whoever was out there to do it.
Well, I don't think the timeline is important. What is important is that it is up there. And its function to us is to look there and just daydream and just to let reality slip by us. Let the mainstream media feed us full of their version of reality, what we're supposed to think we are, and from what we truly are, and what our knowledge is supposed to be, and where we're stuck in this stalemate. If anyone here is an alien, an extraterrestrial, it would be mankind today. We're not built to survive this planet. We have to clothe ourselves. You know what I mean? If all our hair through evolution has faded, and why haven't our toes? We've worn shoes long enough, surely, that we don't need toes no more to keep our balance.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been fed so many lies for so long, and anyone who's going to reference the Bible for anything reality, don't get out of the chapter of Genesis. Figure it out. It's not real. It's there to control, to manipulate. And when you see the Queen and Obama meeting with the Pope, it makes me think, why didn't I get an invitation? Okay? I'm as important as anybody that's drawn a breath, but I'm as least important as the homeless man on the corner. So we have to wake up, bitch slap ourselves, because no one else can do it. We have to look in the mirror and say, man, you know, if God ain't inside me, how can he be anywhere else? And once we realize that those mansions that were mentioned earlier, they can all be ours. They are ours. But right now we're stuck on this prison called planet Earth. And the noose is just getting tighter and tighter. And when you see the evil that is gathering with the Pope, it's to constrict all mankind from growing. This police lockdown, FEMA state, ex-freedom country is about to have its last days. What is that, Nero fiddles while Rome burns? We got to wake up. Part of it is that moon. that we take for granted, that it's always been there, that it, we have to have it to tell what seasons it is. Well, go before any of that. Our ancestors knew when seasons were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're bringing us a lot of things to think about, because I have always heard the story that perhaps 4.6 billion years ago, someone had the knowledge to place the moon where they placed it, mathematically correct, so that it would scissor the planet and also shadow the planet twice a year. So think about that. Thank you for the call. And it's an interesting concept, but who's going to think about who was there to create the moon 4.6 billion years ago, and what kind of advancements existed? Is it truly a marker? We'll be back.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
All right, let's go to Uncle Doug. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Good morning. Good Friday to you. You know, Clyde, ever since I was a small child, I knew from the get-go when we were living in Colorado. My dad was a missile designer there for Martin Marietta, and I told him one time I was a small child. I said, you know, one day we'll have a third world war, and there'll be people come from the sky. And he laughed at me. He said, oh, I don't think there'll ever be another third world war. Well, he died a few years ago. And before he died, he told me, he said, grab your bootstraps, hunker down, don't go in debt, it's going to happen again. I've always felt that there will be space aliens come here. And in doing so, I think that they're subliminally letting us know. They're telling us through Hollywood movies. They're letting us know through different ways, because just think about it, Clyde. If they came right out on Tuesday and they told every idiot in the world that the space aliens are going to be here Friday, do you know what kind of mass chaos and havoc and panic would happen? They'd go and buy all the beer, all the bologna, and all the gasoline. And where in the hell are they going to go after they've bought all that? They're stuck here on planet Earth. We are going to have some type of a resurrection of the space people come. They've already been here one time. They've been in South America. They've been in Egypt. They've been all over the world. And I think they're here now amongst us in reptilian form, in other forms. And I think they will come back. I think some of them will be nice and some of them will be pretty nasty. But I think that the Pope and Barack Obama and the Queen and all of them, they know. Everybody knows. But you know what? I think also that NASA has relinquished a lot of their power the government has to these private concerns, because they're the ones that are going to be taking us to Mars or to Planet Zero, X or Y or Z. It's not going to be NASA. And, but the thing about it is, they're also, Clyde, what if we all knew all of a sudden that the space people were coming and there was a panic? There's only going to be so many people be able to get on those spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to be in such a panic mode. I think that's why they have never told us outright, hey, guys, they're coming, get ready. Because you got all the good old boys with all their guns and their backwoods ways. You know, they're going to do a lot of stupid stuff, and they're going to be outgunned.
Well, I'm just saying that it just all is piling up all at once like this. And
if you can't read what the writing is on the wall right now, that they're telling us, and they're trying to be delicate about it, it's getting ready to happen.
Somebody was saying, it was interesting here, somebody was saying on that tapestry that's behind the Pope and the Queen, 13 planets. You did you get a chance to see it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've been waiting on the phone. I'm going to get a computer.
Just when you get a look at that, it's called Abrasio Cosmico. There are 13 planets represented in the tapestry. 13 planets. So that's amazing because you know that's with all the Planet X speculation, everything else, that would definitely be an amazing thing if there were 13 planets.
You know, that's almost as scary, that tapestry, as artwork at the Denver airport.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many things.
It was subliminal, but it was just right out in front of everybody, and it was scary. If you've ever flown in and out of it, I mean, that's about as scary as hell.
Yeah, that is scary if you look at it. I mean, and some of it looks like it's all prophetic, too. The guy was amazing.
Oh, sure he was, but I mean, it's just so in your face that it's just like, is this what's really going to happen? God forbid if it is.
Well, it's an approximation, obviously. I mean, they you know, that's what right. It is. It's all about approximation. It's not like it's going to happen, you know, date by date, word for word, literal. I mean, people are so literal anymore. But look, if you look at it and you see that it seems to appear to be happening, nothing is going to be literal if it's prophetic. I mean, prophets are close. They're never right on the money. I mean, they're pretty close, but they're not, I mean, not every detail. And sometimes we bend things, like for Nostradamus, we bend things to make it fit. But these things are remarkable, and we're showing them now, and we're demonstrating. And even people are saying, I mean, I'm looking over my Facebook now, oh, that tapestry is Photoshopped. Oh, shut up. Anytime somebody says it's, I know, it's Photoshopped. Yeah, it's like everybody has a mastery at Photoshop. No, they don't. I just love it. Anyway, I appreciate the call. Doug, don't be a sheeple.
I love you, man.
Yeah, love you too. Take care. And don't Photoshop. It's all fake, Clyde.
The time is now 10:41. 19 minutes before countdown. 19 minutes. Time is now 10:46, 14 minutes before countdown, 14 minutes before countdown, you are advised to stay inside. The time is now 10:51, 9 minutes before countdown, 9 minutes.
Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. 888-673-3700. All is being revealed now, slowly but surely, as we're gradually being pushed into this new evolutionary way of thinking of aliens or extraterrestrials, Planet X, tapestries hanging in the Vatican, the cosmic embrace, Abrazio Cosmico. Ah. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to David. You're on Ground Zero.
Looks at living being in the back.
Hello?
Yes.
It's you. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good, Clyde?
It's me.
Okay. Man, I wanted to call and talk to you about the extraterrestrials.
Okay.
And what they mean to man. Are you still on that subject?
I still am, yep. Mm-hmm.
All righty. I'm from South Carolina, deep south, so you'll have to forgive my accent.
I love your accent. You just talk to me all night long, man.
I hear you, dude. You understand me good, right?
I sure do.
Okay. I believe, and I've read in a lot of places now. I haven't found it in the Bible, but I do know that we are to check all things by the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if it's not in the Bible, then it ain't from God, you know. And these extraterrestrials, in my opinion, are actually going to turn out to be demons. And as far as Satan or the Antichrist gets his demons here and they're extraterrestrials, well, of course, if they're good extraterrestrials, they're not mean, you know, everybody's going to take to them.
Well, I mean, we would accept them as our counterparts and also creations of God. David, let me ask you, are you familiar with Ezekiel and the wheel and what he saw in the sky?
Right. I've got Ezekiel out right here.
Okay, so Ezekiel saw the wheel within a wheel, and he saw it in the sky. And
right.
What about Saul of Tarsus when he fell to the ground after he saw a huge light in the sky, and after he was blinded by the light, he became one of God's chosen disciples to basically teach?
Well, Saul of Tarsus with Paul.
Yeah, I know, but he saw a light in the sky, did he not? Did he see a light
in
the sky?
He saw a light in the sky, but then he saw Jesus Christ.
Well, yes. I mean, that's what he interpreted.
By Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the only way he became a disciple.
Well, that's how he interpreted it. He said it was Jesus, but the truth is he saw a light in the sky that blinded him. Ezekiel saw a wheel, and within that wheel he saw creatures that came down out of that had faces of bulls and birds and lions. He saw them and he described them. He described the sound of the wheel as roaring like the loud ocean. And it was like a chariot of fire in the sky. Now, how many people today have said they have seen something similar, like a saucer or a wheel in the sky that has a loud roar like a jet that's flying overhead? And sometimes people see beings coming out of those saucers. I mean, would that be demonic? Would that be, I mean, if the Bible's talking about wheels and chariots of fire, and if in Genesis 6...
In one place, that's in Ezekiel, right. Ezekiel getting ready to prophesy.
Right, but he saw a wheel, didn't he, David?
He saw a wheel, and there were living beings with the wheel. Mm-hmm. Living beings were in the wheel.
Wouldn't that sound like an alien? Wouldn't that sound like some sort of an alien encounter to you? I mean, you're saying that you don't know where in the Bible where it mentions aliens. I don't think it'll come right out and mention aliens, but it certainly mentions beings that come down in these contraptions that fly that look like fiery shields or chariots of fire. Do they not?
That's what they say, but brother, I'm 54 years old and I have yet to see a light in the sky except for Skylab, Sputnik, and whatever's up there now, the space station.
David, do you really want to see an alien? Do you really want to have an encounter? Do you?
With an alien?
Yeah.
No, sir, I'm waiting to have an encounter with Jesus.
Okay. Well, I think that would be just as nice, don't you? I'm just saying that if an alien being of light came down to you and said, David, I want you to spread the word, Now, would that be evil, or would that be something you'd be willing to do because you have faith?
What word? I mean, the word of God?
I suppose that's what I mean, right? That's what I mean, David, I think.
Yeah, I suspect that's what you mean, yes, sir.
Okay, so you'd do it, wouldn't you? You'd do it.
I don't know if I would or not, sir. I'd have to pray about it. And there
well, that is just remarkable that you'd pray about it first. I think that's remarkable. Because that's exactly what you're supposed to do, my friend, and you're doing the right thing. So, yeah, you know, I think you got your head on straight about it. I just think that, you know, maybe, you know, as you're reading the Bible, you know, you may notice that when angels aren't spoken of or demons spoken of, you may think that there are beings out there that are kind of not angels or demons, but maybe beings that are, you know, out there somewhere that come visit us every once in a while, and they've done it in the Bible, they've done it in historic texts, and, you know, who knows?
Well, let me read just a little verse here for you, and I know you're busy. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew upward, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings also went.
So that means that wheel was being piloted by these beings, and it was the power of their mind and the power of their will that kept it in the air.
Well, and he says beings, but they could have very well been angels. Could they not?
Of course. Of course they could.
That's right. That's right. It didn't necessarily have to be aliens, you know.
Yeah.
I take it more like spirits of God. You know, God has seven spirits.
Well, we do know this, that there are several ways to depict an alien. And if we're looking at big buggy-eyed creatures that we see in the sci-fi movies, I don't think that's what we're looking at. I think those are creations of Hollywood. But I think beyond that, we can't comprehend what it might be. But there are people out there that claim they've had these experiences. They've claimed that they have been visited. And they claim they've been up in their spaceships. So, I mean, do we believe them? Do we reject them? Or do we realize that the same thing happened in the Bible? Same things happened throughout history. And it's always been documented, recording, that these beings have always had interaction with humankind.
But the abductions have never come back with good stories. You know, they've come back with torture stories.
That's what I hear. And that's why I don't think that those who are abducting are the good guys. You know what I'm saying? They're the guys that want to come down and rape and pillage and plunder and perhaps even eat us if they had the opportunity.
I said they're coming probably.
But you know, David, they'll take the fat ones first. That's why I have to lose weight, because I don't want to be the first in line to be eaten, you know, to serve man. You know what I'm saying?
That's me, buddy.
You and I need to get on the treadmill to outrun those aliens, I swear.
Telling you, brother. But I appreciate you, your conversation tonight. I really enjoy it. And I listen to you every night. And you got a great show. I just wish that I didn't have to get cut off by Coast to Coast, you know. Can you tell me, is there another station that I could reach you on in this area?
I wouldn't know. You can listen to me on the Internet. I'm on the Internet. And you can also listen to me on your smartphone or your iPhone if you wish. You know, if you have a phone.
Well, yeah. Where do you have an eye? Give me your...
Go to KXL.com online and get the app, and then you listen to me on your telephone. And that way you'll get full 5 hours of me on your phone. Okay?
Oh, man. I need 5 hours of y'all. I like you, Clyde. I like you, brother.
I like you too, David.
I just want you to keep an open mind.
No, I do.
But I don't want you to keep it too open, because I do know that from what I hear and understand, you're a Christian man, correct?
Yeah, I try to be. I always say I was a practicing Christian. I got real good at it, and I've retired a little bit, and I got to brush up on my Christian. Otherwise, I'll fall for anything. You know what I'm saying, David?
Hopefully you didn't turn your back on him.
I would never do that.
Amen. I'm glad to hear that, Clyde.
Thank you, David.
I don't worry about you more. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking my call.
Have a good night. Take care, buddy. Let's go to Josh in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You're on Ground Zero.
Yes, sir. How are you tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I wanted to talk about how they actually, they don't come, you were right when they said they don't come out and say aliens in the Bible, but there's a few different spots that do talk about beings along those lines. In Genesis 6, it says how you're saying repopulating the earth. Men repopulated the earth and had their daughters. The sons of God came down from the heavens to be with the daughters of men,
mm-hmm.
which sounds very much like an extraterrestrial coming down, because who else would come down from the sky other than the sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
And that with that, it was they had children. There were giants in that era, and the children of between the sons of God and daughters of men were great beings that have gone through in history, which is exactly describes Greek mythology. So there's the connection between Christian Bible, Greek mythology, and extraterrestrials right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the tapestry behind the Pope.
Yes.
I'm just currently driving on a hands-free device, so I'm not able to look at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds exactly like a portion of Revelation. It talks about the angel playing the trumpet to open up into the sky, could be exactly like a wormhole, and the angels will come out of it and wipe out a third of the plants, a third of the animals, and a third of the humans, which would be an extinction-level event. The people who don't die would embrace said extraterrestrials or angels, just like the tapestry shows.
Interesting. Hmm. Well, I think that you've got a grasp on it. I really do, and I think that that's amazing that you do, and I think that it just seems to me that if you do look beyond and you do know the translations and you do know what's happening, that you see that it is a part, if not an extension of what we all believe and what we've been taught. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, anything else you want to add?
That was all I had an opinion on. I was kind of wondering your opinion on it.
Well, I think the thing is I can't expound upon it any more than what you've said, because it just seems to gel with a lot of what I've been thinking. And you seem to know that, yeah, I mean, Genesis 6, all of that. I mean, and even if you look at the sons of Anak, you know, what were they? What about the Rephaim? What about the Amim? What about the Alamosim? All these other characters of the Bible that were not specified as anything but beings that were unknown to regular humankind. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're right on the money, Josh. Keep studying. You're doing well.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good night, sir.
You too. Take care. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. There are many beings mentioned in the Bible and in ancient histories that have no explanation. And many of those beings have evolved into some of the mythological characters that we know of today, whether it be vampires, werewolves, Sauron men, upright walking, strange creatures. All have been around anciently, all talked about in the Quran, all talked about in the Kabbalah, Zohar, all the Talmud. All of these areas, and I think that if you explore some of the books that aren't Canaan, Book of Enoch, Jasher, Maccabees, you go through all these books that have not been placed in the Bible, and you look in them and you say, wow, this expands my horizons. You're not going to go to hell for reading them, and you're not going to use them in Sunday school, but you certainly get a better knowledge if you know of these books and know that they exist, because they do bring to light many startling things, many interesting things that open your eyes to what was happening anciently. And it's some amazing stuff. And what's happening now is just as amazing. And that's why we're talking about it tonight. Just looking over a bunch of photos and things. I mean, we just saw a big sunstorm just happen out of the stereo. Where's that out of? It was out of the stereo. Anyway, we just had a sunstorm. Major sunstorm just erupted on the sun, and we posted it. and I'm just trying to figure out. It looks pretty bad. If you take a look at it, it's on the Facebook page right now. It's right there on the stereo. Yeah. Yeah, you got it? Okay. We just wanted to make sure you had it. So, yeah, we just saw it. It's huge. Blah. It's like the sun just burped, and this huge big flame, this huge flame shooting out of the sun tonight. Maybe we'll probably feel that coming up soon. I'm wondering if maybe somebody's protecting us, because that looks huge. That is big. I've never seen anything that big in a long time coming out of the sun, but we've been having a few of them. So anyway, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Harvey in Texas. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Hello.
You're doing great. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, man. I was thinking, what about Revelations 21, where John's talking about the new heaven and the new earth? You know, the old earth and the old heaven is going to be done away with.
Right.
And the new heaven, and then the way he sees it, you know, is a city of gold, and I think it was walls of jasper that are clear like glass that comes down to the new earth, and it's God's dwelling place, and he comes to dwell with man, and he becomes their God, and they become his people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a spaceship?
Well, have you ever heard of the city of heaven? It's talked about.
Yes,
it's a cube. Really, it's a cube,
right?
City that's supposed to come down, and we're supposed to see it.
Yeah, right. And it even has, if I remember correctly, it even has the actual dimensions.
Uh huh.
If I remember it, and I think it was in cubits.
Yeah. I think it's like maybe 15 miles by 15 miles. Actually, that's how big it is.
Right, and then it goes on in Revelation 21, and it talks about. And you just brought up the sun, and this is something else I've always wondered.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the lake of fire. Is the sun the lake of fire?
Well, that's the question, right? Is it the lake of fire? Do they cast it towards the sun? I mean, there's a lot of ways we can interpret things. And, you know, if anybody with intelligence or the ability to convince you that these are the way things are, I mean, I'm no biblical scholar. I have studied theology, but I have my own interpretations and my own histories that I've read. And it seems that, you know, there is a rich history. And if you go back to some of the sects that exist in the first and second centuries, you see that people have talked about these things, the very things you're talking about, city of God, perhaps some sort of a big spaceship that people live on, or a planet that people live on that could be coming and visiting us. I mean, these things are found in the Bible. These things are talked about.
Right. You know, and I'm the same way, Clyde. I'm no scholar. Mm-hmm. I've studied theology, and, you know, I call myself a Christian, no poster boy for Christianity, but, you know, I believe in God, you know, I believe in Christ and, you know, all that. But when we bind ourselves with religion, we bind ourselves with other people's interpretations. And, you know, my dad always told me when I was growing up was, whatever a man tells you about the Bible, check it yourself. It doesn't matter if it's a pastor or who it is, always check it yourself and pray and make sure that what he's saying is right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we look around today, and I remember asking growing up as a kid questions like what we're talking about right now. And many times I was sent to the back of the class or the back of the pew and said, you know, hey, you know, don't talk about that, because, and then, you know, you ask them, like God, well, because we're supposed to be made in his image, and they say, well, he's spirit. Well, I've got form, and if I'm made in God's image, then he must have some form. You know,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
We have spirit, but he must have two legs. He must have two arms, a head, a chest. You know, if we're made in his image,
right.
So what does he look like? Oh, well, nobody knows what he looks like. Well, that's not what the Bible says.
But I would say that he resembles us, right? I mean, he's made in our image after the likeness. I don't know if it's a duplicate. I don't know if we're doppelgangers. I don't know, you know, and I know that, you know, my background and many religions believe that man is that God is a man, that he's got flesh and bone and that he's tangible. But then again, is he really a man, or is he something that is has an appearance of a hominid or an upright walking invertebrate or any of those things? I mean, I don't think he's a slug by any means. I don't think he's a monster by any means. But I certainly think he you're right. He has to have two eyes, two legs, you know. But he could have an exoskeleton. We don't. I mean, I don't know if that I'd go that far. But I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, we don't know. We only have our interpretations because the artists of our time have given us things to look at, whether they be bearded men in the Sistine Chapel or something else. And so we really don't know what any of this looks like or appears to be. And that's why I find it interesting that, you know, when somebody says to me, well, I don't see it that way, I go, well, how do you see it really? And you ask them, well, give me your interpretation of how everything was created if you're into creationism. And they can't find the means by which to do so. But the minute you tell somebody, what if God created everything the same way things are created now, where we see them naturally happening? Oh, no, that didn't happen that way. Well, how did it happen then? They can't give me an answer.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, because if we're made in God's image, which it says we are, and I believe that, then just like today, what you're speaking of today on the radio, the program that you have, you're an artist. You create. I'm a truck driver, but my nature is to create. I'm a mechanic. I build cars. I build motorcycles. I create when I get it done.
Right. Uh-huh.
I've created it in what I think is good. And what anybody else thinks is, well, whatever.
Well,
you know, they
I
may
mean,
like it or they may not like
okay,
it.
Okay, well, think about
this.
Created it. Scott, Harvey, let's put it in this direction, okay? So you're talking about how you're a creator, you're a mechanic. Can we say, can we say that when we create automobiles or trucks or any of those things, that we also create them in our own image? Think about it. We have two headlights.
Yeah.
We have two front tires, two back tires. We have an area that's a visor area where if you stood a vehicle upright, you would see that it has two headlights, two eyes, two front wheels that give it motion, because our arms are motion, and we have two back tires like legs that give it motion. So we are creating our vehicles in our own image, and we do anthropomorphize them, do we not, Harvey? I mean, come on. I mean, my father called his car Betsy at one time. He says, Betsy, that's Betsy. You know, you call your vehicles a name, you give them a name. I mean, it's just the constant progression, and I think God has his plan. He's created us a certain way with two eyes, two legs, two arms, a chest, and then we create our machines in the same way. Most of them anyway. I mean, our cars especially. We anthropomorphize our cars, and they're kind of like in our image, if you want to really think about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we close our minds to interpretations that with someone else's interpretation, what we're told to believe, that we're selling ourselves short, and we're not doing what God told us to do, which he told us to leave our eyes open. He told us to look to the heavens and search our hearts and use our minds. God created us with a mind and a brain. He didn't create us to be little robots to mindlessly walk around and listen to what everyone else says.
Right. And we make choices, and that's the whole fundamental thing, right, is choice, liberty, the idea of choice, choose. That is what we're here to do, choose good and evil. If we choose bad, we know that we're not going to have any kind of reward. If we choose wisely and we choose good, we will have reward. I think that's the fundamental law that we need to all abide by, and I think that's one of the reasons why I've always said true evil is when we're told we have a choice, but we really don't have a choice, that we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. You know, and that's the thing. Justice and love and choice are all these things that make up what the plan is that the Creator or God or whomever has given us. And I think that if we abide by those things and we continue to put them into practice, I think we have nothing to worry about. But the problem is when we become greedy, selfish, intolerant, all of these things that create tension, war, division, These are the things of the adversary. These are the things that put us in that adversarial mindset. And I think that we need to learn those basic things in order for us to prepare for whatever may be out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's good. I like that.
Harvey, you're the man. I'm out of time, but I appreciate you calling in tonight, buddy.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks.
You take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Floyd in Washougal, Washington. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Fantastic show you have tonight.
Thank you.
You know, I don't think it's a coincidence at all that we have all these earth changes happening right now, and then you have Clinton coming forward and talking about extraterrestrials. I believe it was last year, Paul Hellyer, who was a former Canadian Minister of Defense back in the 60s, came out and basically said, you know, there are extraterrestrials and they're here on the Earth, and we've been interacting with them for a long time. And I just find it fascinating. Some people, you know, will hear this stuff and they'll laugh it off or they can't believe it. But if you just dig into it a little bit and do some research, there's highly credible individuals that are just coming forward with mind-blowing information.
They are. There are a lot of people coming with mind-blowing information, and it expands and expands and expands. I don't think that it's a deception to have all that mind-blowing information coming to you. I think we need to have more. We need to stimulate thinking rather than continuing to go along and being complicit with everything that comes to us, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, your previous show, you had the talked about the lady, I don't remember her name, that was involved with the World Banks, and she talked about the species with the elongated skulls. Well, if you look throughout history, you will find these beings in Egypt, in ancient Sumeria, the Mayans, the Aztecs, and even here in America, in the mound building cultures, the Adena, the Hopewell, these individuals, they elongated their skulls. And the question is, well, why would all these people in these different cultures, try to do that, to shape their head in that way? Is that all just coincidence, or did they encounter a highly civilized race, a very advanced race, and they wanted to emulate them?
Well, did you
and
hear about,
really
they found some of those skulls, I think, in Peru. And they ran some tests, mm-hmm. and they found that some of those elongated skulls belong to hybrids. That some of them, you know, there's human traits in them, and then there's traits that they can't find elsewhere on the planet. That there's something about them that are different. So, I mean, just to write it all off as being cradle boarded, so their heads become cone heads or conical.
Yeah.
I think we're missing the boat. I think that if we find that. Some of the data that has come back from the discoveries in South America that state that these may have been hybrids, maybe even high priests in the temples. I mean, that would explain why you see, Nefertiti with her headdress on that goes all the way back, because she had a conical head. King Tut had a conical head. I mean, it's a representation of a wise person or a god if you have a conical head, you know?
Absolutely. Those individuals in those societies were very highly regarded. They were the elite. And it's interesting that the lady that was involved with the World Bank said that individual that showed up at that meeting with the elongated skull, she seemed to allude that these individuals or these beings had control of a majority of the gold on this planet.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I think these new discoveries are pretty amazing, and I wish that more and more people would be open to them. But we're fighting a fight of people who are so cynical now and have been fooled in the past that they think that now that they're foolproof. And what's going to happen is, like I said, I've said this before and I'll say it again, it would be hilarious if Jesus did return tomorrow and he hired a telemarketing group to announce that he's here, because he would do that to test the faith of people. Because so many times we've been fooled into answering the phone and talking to telemarketers and getting pretty much lied to and sold the wrong thing. And so it's the same thing with all these things that happen. We have so many things that happen, and there are so many people that want to be deceptive, and a lot of people have expressed that tonight. But we need to remember that not everything that seems outrageous is deceptive, that we may see a deception or we may not see a deception, and we can't just walk in with it being, oh, it's a deception right off the bat, when we know that there are so many wonderful things happening now and so many things that are being revealed now. I think that sometimes our cynicism is going to defeat us. It's going to defeat us, and I think that that's what they're doing, is they're breeding the cynicism. They're grooming us for cynicism, skepticism. And I don't mean skepticism in the true sense of wonderment. I mean skepticism in the sense that we debunk everything that comes our way. And when that happens, there are other things that are going to get debunked, and other things are going to become casualties. And I find those things to be faith, love, all the things that we have hoped for and fought for are going to be the things that we dashed on the rocks with cynicism and discouragement, and that is what bothers me.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
On another note, I've heard you talk before about predictive programming, and you know, the movie that came to my mind, and I don't know if you saw it, it was the last Alien movie that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it seemed to follow along some of the lines of Sitchin's work.
Are you talking about Prometheus?
Prometheus.
Yeah, that's a prequel to Aliens. Prometheus was a fantastic science fiction film. I know a lot of people were divided on it, but I thought it was fantastic. And
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and I hear they're doing a sequel to it, but see, I don't see the motive for the scientists to go find God, especially when the gods have been angry because we killed their progeny. You know, that's the whole point. It's all the cosmic Jesus story. We killed Jesus, so the gods are mad because we did that. I got to see what happens next, but in the meantime, you're right. That is a fantastic film. Hey, Floyd, we're out of time. Thank you for calling the program tonight.
My pleasure. Keep doing what you're doing, Clyde. You're really bringing this information out to a wider audience that might not otherwise hear it.
Thank you, man. Take care. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
There is one thing I neglected to tell you. I am going to use your music to make you Earthlings a little more flexible in your dealings with my distant planet. And you, my musical friends, will make it possible. Roll the tape!
Astronomers are predicting that a large-scale disaster on the red planet Mars may occur in October 2014. Comets may ram into Mars, creating a 500-kilometer crater.
The website of the Russian observatory ICMM has stated.
Now, that may sound familiar to you because ICMM
is the name of the comet that is coming later this year in November, where they spotted it.
I always say, after you've seen one asteroid, you've seen them all.
You and I saw M47 swerve in its path, take a course impossible to explain by natural physical laws, didn't we? Yes, we did. Any mass 10 times its size and density should have been pulverized by that atomic barrage. But it wasn't.
Join in the incredible adventures of a group of astronauts and a newspaper reporter as they travel through space from Mars to Venus in Assignment Outer Space.
Predicting that a large-scale disaster on the red planet of Mars.
Their robot planes were no match for our music.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Marty in Hawaii. Hi, Marty, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. You know, you're talking about Planet X. I'm always reminded of the writings of the author Immanuel Velikovsky.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Ages in Chaos, Earth in Upheaval. Einstein, when he died, had Earth in Upheaval on his bedstand. And Velikovsky held that Venus was a comet that passed through the solar system in historical times and wreaked havoc. It stripped the atmosphere off Mars, which was witnessed by humans. And it came so close to the Earth that it held the Earth still. It stopped our rotation, and it stopped our progression around the sun, and caused such things as the sun to hold still for Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And Velikovsky said, well, if the sun held still in Israel, then there must have been a correspondence on the opposite side of the planet. And so he researched Mayan history and felt that, yeah, they had the age of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to sacrifices on a daily basis to keep the sun returning and into the Aztec age, where thousands and thousands of living hearts were ripped out of people in order to keep the sun from not holding out.
Right. It's, and, there's the whole idea of what they call the sol invictus, the idea that they had to pay with their lives, pay with sacrifices in order for the sun to return. That was always held around the times of the Saturnalian festivals.
And Velikovsky was suppressed because it meant that geology didn't happen over these incremental periods, that there was, in fact, cataclysmic geology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was going to be big news that Einstein was going to support Velikovsky's hypotheses. And the Venus was eventually trapped into its current rotation, and it's the only planet that rotates opposite of all the other planets. Well, I guess Neptune rotates on its side, but all the other planets rotate opposite to what Venus does. And Velikovsky predicted the temperature of the surface of Venus within a few degrees. And also it set off great migrations, including the migration of the Polynesians, which is where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And it also led to the extinction of the people of the Southwest, who became known as the Anasazi, or the Ancient Ones, by the current inhabitants, the Dinita, or Navajo.
Right.
And there were these great migrations that all occurred around the year 800 of the current era, 800 A.D., and that corresponds with Venus finally getting trapped by the sun into its current location.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. He's just an amazing, amazing author. And
I know, and Worlds in Collision is a great... Have you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff is remarkable. Have you ever heard of thunderbolts.info?
No.
You should go to that website. I've had David Talbot on the program before, and it's all about Velikovsky. Symbols in an Alien Sky is a great film that you may want to watch. It's about interpretations of some of, like, Venus and, of course, the comets and all these things. It's just some amazing stuff that you may want to explore.
Yeah, I'm very, very fascinated by the works of Velikovsky. A college professor of my wife and myself turned me on to it. I made him I made him a trade. I said, if you read this guy Tesla, I'll read this guy Velikovsky.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we both won because Velikovsky, I mean, Tesla was an ancestor of mine, and I have some copies of his original work done at Colorado Springs. I have copies in English of his experiments he did at Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my most treasured books in my library.
Cool.
And so we both won. He was very excited about learning about Tesla, and I was very excited about learning about the works of Velikovsky.
Right.
But I just thought I'd throw that out there because this Nibiru, well, if it is the size of Jupiter and it's in the Oort cloud, then we better hold on to our shorts because it will throw things all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was told.
You know, bolides.
Well, that's what I was told. I was told that, you know, if Planet X is seen or if it's discovered, we'd be seeing all kinds of crazy stuff going on planet Earth, and it seems to be happening now, but I think it's all coincidence. I'd like to think it's coincidence rather than buying into the idea that we're having these, well, they call it the Perturber when I was reading it today, so maybe it is the Perturber. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I certainly have a lot of speculation right now.
Well, I can't buy into Stitchin's work too much, being a sold-out Christian. A diehard Christian, and there's too much of his work that would conflict with my walk with Jesus, and but you know, I mean, at the same time, I'm reading presently the Book of Acts, but I'm also reading The Future of the Mind by Michio Kaku. Mm-hmm. So I you know, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of current scientists. It helps me in my argument to support my beliefs, and many. And I'm also reading Darwin's Doubts, but I'm not afraid of current science. And I love Dr. Kaku.
Yeah, I would love to get him on the show. Maybe that'll happen in my lifetime. Who knows? Anyway,
yeah, his new book, The Future of the Mind, is it's a page burner. I can't put it down. But you know, he runs into the same problem that many scientists do, and that's that nanosecond before the Big Bang, and a lot of his problems that he can't solve could be answered if he picked up the Bible.
Right. There are a lot of things that are answered in the Bible, too. Hey, Marty, I'm out of time. I got to run. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
You take a great call. Take care. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We're going to get back to some more phone calls coming up on Ground Zero and wrapping up the show tonight. Excellent show. A lot of great calls tonight. Really appreciated all the feedback. 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101. Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Go to Rachel. Rachel, hi. You're on Ground Zero in San Diego.
Hi, Clyde. Great show.
Thank you.
I had called to comment on your opening comments tonight. You know, and I hope that I was getting what you were saying, which is you know, you've been doing this show for years and talking about these kinds of things. And as an example, you know, I have not really been listening to radio for more than about 3 years, I would say. But I had heard of you. And when programs like Coast to Coast, I'd be at parties or, you know, events, and you know, it'd get sort of, the crowd would thin out, and people would start to talk about, you know, things. And I would hear, you know, somebody say, oh, you know, I watch Clyde Lewis. And then, you know, and somebody else would say, I'd say, well, you know, what's that? And they'd say, oh, no, you'd probably like it. You know, you'd probably like it. And then somebody else would say, oh, that's crazy. You don't even talk about aliens and stuff like that. You know, and I'm saying that because I think that's what you were saying. And you were saying, and here we are now, and we've got the Pope and Obama and Clinton, like, sort of almost fighting over who's going to get to meet the aliens now. You know, these same group of people who were calling this crazy are now, you know, now they're going to meet them. And so that made me laugh. And the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is why I think, and one of the reasons anyway, why I think laughter at this, in these particular times, is so important. And that has to do with this very cold, restrictive, sort of dark energy that we're experiencing in so many ways. And so that the laughter about it is very important. And so you'll notice as I talk that I've come to laugh at my own jokes. And that's fine with me because this is important to do because these goofballs who have made it seem, but really this is, I'm going to talk a little bit about astrology and the planet Saturn because I've remembered, because I used to study astrology and I put it down for a while, and that we are in presently in what's called a Saturn return, meaning that there's a lot of people on the planet right now who are alive, who were born during this particular Saturn return, meaning it's passing again through the sign of Scorpio.
Every 29 years, right? It's every 29 years?
That's right. In fact, and because of the way that the planets work and because we can't really nail it down, important aspect or feature here or characteristic, especially when we're living in times where people have been telling us over and over in so many ways that science is the religion. Science is the alpha and the omega. Fact. And, no, it's not. Because even the scientists, when they're talking about astronomy, can only pinpoint it about every 29 and a half, maybe 30 years, because that's the nature of what we live in here organically. Anyway, yeah, you're right. But it's in Scorpio. And when you're learning astrology, there are these, they give you these keywords. So guess what the keyword is for Saturn? I'll tell you what it is for Jupiter. It's expansion. And for Saturn, it's restriction. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Does restriction seem like something that we're all dealing with here? And the other thing that it does, Saturn is a slow-moving planet, but it's going to end. My point, and I know the show's going to end too, so I better hurry up and get to my point, but it's going to end. I know it doesn't seem like it is, but it is. That's the nature of the Saturnian influence. And one more thing, because you were talking about God and what might God look like. And this always just drives me crazy because, not that you were saying this, I think this is an incredibly great conversation, but here's what drives me crazy about it, is that I'm not that smart. I'm really not. Yet, why is it that we think that a being or a consciousness that it has to be so much superior to us, the same way that our intelligence and our sensory data and the way we perceive information is so much more advanced than even our pets, who we are very, very close to. But my cat is not able to understand the complexities of where it is that I go every day and the relationships that I have with all the different people like that. My cat can't even see me the same way that I could say, see you. If God is of a higher vibration and frequency, we're not going to be able to see that because our senses are not highly enough developed to do that. And I don't understand why people don't get that. And so I want to put out a warning. If these goofballs, the Pope and Obama, whoever it is that says that they've met the aliens, we should know just from basic reasoning. It's not even going to take any faith or any understanding of mythological thought to understand that they've got to be frauds. And probably the reason why they haven't done it yet, have the meeting, I mean, is because, and it's a joke and yet it's not, I'll bet they're still busy arguing over what the alien actor needs to look like. What costume should they be wearing? But it's not going to be a superior being, because if it was, we wouldn't be able to see it. We're not advanced enough.
Well, I would say, Rachel, this is the thing, we're out of time, but I would say this. You got a point, and that is that there is no protocol. And I think there's no protocol because I don't know how they'd handle it. And you have been saying that to me, is that you don't know how they'd handle it. They wouldn't be able to handle it. They can't. The vibration would not be for them because they're not in that realm. So yeah, I would see that as I guess a challenge for all of us to put ourselves in the mindset to be able to accept them, and that is to put ourselves in a mindset that is more open, more tolerant, more loving. And I think that maybe that's where we will see it. We'll see. It's kind of like, you know, when Columbus came, a lot of the people there on the land didn't see his ships until it was pointed out to them that those were ships. Rachel,
that's,
hey, thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday, hopefully with something interesting. We'll be back Monday. Good night.
This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.